You're listening to a repeat of the 96FM Opinion Line. Phone and text lines are now closed. The Opinion Line with PJ Coogan. 1850-715-996.
Glorious morning out there. Beautiful, beautiful day for Daffodil Day. It'd be great to get down and see Ken in the window of Eason's a little bit later on. The funny thing too, with Mother's Day on Sunday, look at the beautiful daffodils along the roads, along the roadsides. Fair play to the council for keeping them going every year. There won't be a daffodil left on Sunday because they'll all be out robbing them for their mammies. But anyway, 1850-715-996. Text 083-396-9696 and your email, opinion at 96fm.ie. I'll run a text poll shortly on the bus strike. But Dermot O'Leary from the National Bus and Rail Workers Union joins me. Dermot, good morning.
Good morning, PJ.
Dermot, we can go into the nitty-gritty of the strike and why we've come to this in a minute, but why have the trains been curtailed in a bus strike?
Again, PJ, I got a phone call early this morning to say there was no train services from lots of places around the country, and I can understand, though not accept, that in the shared locations that there will be flashpoints and problems there, even though we're not in dispute with Irish Rail. I was surprised myself to hear that there was trains not running out of Cork this morning. And again, I'm trying to establish for my own benefit, obviously on behalf of the trade union, why there's no trains out of Cork. Obviously, there's strong feelings across the CA group in terms of what's happening to Buzz Air, and I understand that much, being an ex-worker myself, representing people across the three companies. Again, I have to point out very, very strongly that there is no dispute with Irish Rail, and people that work for Irish Rail, that are members of my trade union, should be at work this morning.
You've called on them to go in?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I mean, I've said this very, very clearly from the very start, this is not our decided remote, this is a very direct appeal to people that work on Irish Rail, in Cork in this case, and across the country. They should be at work this morning. If there's a requirement for those people to support bus air and workers, I'm sure that call may come at a future date. But certainly in terms of this morning, there is no dispute with Irish Rail, nor should people be should be at work, not outside gates.
Is it good union practice, or is it even legal for bus workers to picket a train station like Kent?
I understand, the conversation I had, PJ, you'd appreciate, was in the last 25 minutes in detail. I got a call earlier this morning, but my understanding, the first question I asked, was there pickets on the gate, and I was told absolutely not. There was no pickets in the Kent station. So again, I'm having difficulty establishing, but I mean, all I can say from Dublin is that there should be no one outside any gate, any railway station, never mind people not to train that running. Again, it's unfortunate. If buses not running across the country, trains should be running.
I can see where there'd be shared services. Waterford is the one that comes to mind. Is it Plunkett Station, they call it there, where the buses literally go in one side and the trains go in the other. You can understand how that might cause a problem with people wanting to pass a picket, but there's no explanation for it happening elsewhere.
Well, there's not. And again, as I said, I'm having difficulty myself understanding it. But again, all I can do, PJ, through the medium of your station in Cork, is people in Irish Rail listen to this, then they should be at work. And I can't be any stronger than I don't think I can anyway.
Okay. Can I put it to you that perhaps, did you know this would happen, Dermot? You're a long time ahead of that union, and the NBRU has always been a union that stands up strongly for its members. And, you know, in the days of Peter Bunting, one of your predecessors, the NBRU was always the union that could close the whole lot down in 5 minutes.
I want to apologise for being what you describe as a strong trade union. That's not coming from me. That comes from the membership, and we're a member-led union, PJ, and the strength of our union comes exactly from the shop floor. So again, I'm not at all surprised that people are angry. I mean, that's been reflected to me over many, many weeks since this dispute first surfaced a number of months ago at this stage. So I quite understand how my union operates. But again, I have to be very clear, for obvious reasons, and sincere as I can be, that people in Irish Rail should not be in dispute, despite those strong feelings. But again, I can only deliver a message. I can't, you know how it works. I can't make people do something they don't want to do.
No, you can't, and I'll grant you that. Dermot, we've come to this after a long time. We've talked before. I got sight of the letters that were exchanged when the whole thing broke up the other day. Is it 43 or 44 different things Bus Éireann decided to impose overnight?
Well, it's 46 on this occasion. It was 55 the last piece of correspondence. So much piece of correspondence, PJ, you'll appreciate my difficulty. But it's actually four pieces of correspondence since the 16th of January. And again, for people to understand, I was on your show a couple of times, in fairness to you.
Yeah.
You had me on explaining some details around this dispute. But certainly since the 16th of January, people have been taking hits that are take-home pay across a variety of grades. But what we said to our people across the trade union movement in Bus Air and Wise Lads, like, there's a bigger picture about the developers. From our perspective, please let it develop and don't do anything silly, and we don't react and we don't do knee-jerk reactions. And in fairness, the people sucked it up and took the hit. And again, we had I suppose, engagements with the WRC two or three occasions over the last number of weeks, and they concluded without agreement. But certainly, I suppose, the most recent correspondence, which was on the 22nd, 2 days ago, it became very clear what we knew what was at play here, which was the what we call the race to the bottom. Mm. Where the company now wants to realign and reposition itself and become a mirror image of some of the competition that they're up against, or the so-called competition they're up against, because we know, anecdotally at least, that some of the private operators don't behave very well when it comes to the workers. Now, not all, I hasten to add, because I would be very wrong and very remiss of me to point the finger at all private operators. That wouldn't be right. There are some good.
Are any of the private operators unionised, Dermot?
Well, there are. In fairness, Air Coach and my colleagues at SIFTU represent Air Coach, and in fairness, I would say that company, in reasonable terms, look after their workers reasonably well, in fairness. Mm. So I wouldn't go my way to knock. I'd like to knock other companies live on air, but I can't do that.
I understand, I understand. In terms of the minister, I understand the minister this morning is turning down media requests. I know he turned down RTE's Morning Ireland. He may have turned down a few more people. At this stage, Shane Ross is, and I'd have to say this, just as an observer, I think it's a disgrace to his office this morning.
Well, look, I mean, if someone told me 2 or 3 years ago that Shane Ross wouldn't do a media interview, I think I'd be after waking up on a different planet. Because one thing that Shane Ross never was shy when it comes to media, and a good man to self-promote in terms of his, and call him to where he is today, I suppose. But certainly, look, again, I need to be clear with people. I don't necessarily need Shane Ross sitting across from me. And I've explained this so many times. What I need Shane Ross to do is to create the environment where people who have a responsibility to resolve this situation, ourselves in the union side, obviously, the company, and indeed his own department and the NTA, that's where the responsibility lies. But again, PJ, we will look after the industrial relations side ourselves. Mm. All we need the other stakeholders for is to make sure that there's a sustainable future there for people that work on Bus Éireann and people that use the services. And again, just briefly go back to what the company are doing here. Remember, when I spoke to you last, we were talking about an expressway crisis, which again, we know what happened, the motorway network in particular, damaged the expressway product. But that crisis, we were told, was 6 million losses, and then has gone to 9 million. Now, I would argue even that 9 million, but put that to one side, even if you're to accept it was 9 million, we again, from a payroll of 133 million, we know we can solve that 9 million problem with a bit of negotiation. We know we can do that. But that's not where the agenda lies now with this company. They want to save 30 million. And they want to save 12 million from payroll. Yeah. Why? Because as the acting CEO described in his letter the other night, thankfully, for once, he spelled it out quite clearly, he wants Bus Éireann to position itself to be in a position to get contracts in 2019. That's PSO contracts, like Cork City, for example, and be more competitive. Now, competitive for us in the trade union movement is code for reducing people's standard of living.
Businesses, you know, have to be competitive at the same time, though.
Yeah, I accept that, but I think Bus Éireann would be better occupied as a state-owned, taxpayer-funded company, becoming the leader when it comes to terms and conditions. And instead of the Department of Transport and the Department of Education, for who the Bus Éireann operates the schools contract, instead of those two departments trying to drive Bus Éireann's costs down, they should, again, part of the solution to this is to make sure that there's a floor in terms of how people are treated, that at least everyone who operates in the commercial bus sector would have a decent income, and again, not to be paying people under the counter, which we have on a door.
And that's the nitty-gritty of the dispute. But this morning we're in a dispute situation rather than just talking about one. You would appear at this stage on a bright, crisp spring morning to have quite an amount of public support, but I'd have to put it to you, that won't last forever if there are no buses and no trains. If there's a move here by anybody, will you send your workers back?
Well, I mean, again, it's too early to be making calls about what's going to happen, but I certainly would say this in terms of the public support. Again, it's most welcome. And look, again, you're right.
But it won't last forever.
No, it won't. And again, you can't prosecute a dispute or try to solve a dispute on the basis of public opinion, as welcome as it can be sometimes. And again, I quite understand. And my words obviously ring hollow when I apologise for people being discommoded this morning. And I sincerely mean that, because the measure of a strike, sorry, the measure of a union, strong or not, is that people are at work every day, not on a picket line. That's a measure of a union as far as I'm concerned. So my endeavours today would be to try to get people to get around the table again. But certainly I would appeal to people listening to this to have any clout in the political world, certainly to put pressure on the minister, obviously, to create that environment I spoke about earlier.
And one more opportunity, and I know you did previously, just to reiterate, are you asking your train driving members to go to work?
Actually, no, I go a step forward. I'm telling them to go to work, but then again, Nikhil, I mean, at the end of the day, as I said earlier, I was surprised that it happened in Cork this morning. And again, as far as I'm concerned, as General Secretary of the NBR, you can't be any clearer than this. Irish Rail members of mine should be at work this morning and they should continue to drive their trains in the normal way.
All right. Okay. Dermot O'Leary, thank you. From the National Bus and Rail Workers Union. Mick Barry, Solidarity TD, is in studio with me. Our reporter, Keir Revens, is down also at one of the stations. I will get to all that next. 1850-715-996.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail, Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM. Everyone knows Cork's 96 FM plays the biggest hits.
When I am with you, there's no place I'd rather be.
Hit. Music. But we also bring you the best variety on Cork's most listened to radio show.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
Oldies and Irish with Derry O'Callaghan.
Sunday mornings from 10.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
With City Tiles and Bathrooms, Toker Industrial Estate and North Point Blackpool, where quality really counts.
Cork's 96 FM. Call the Opinion Line.
This is what you came for.
1850-715-996. Cork's 96 FM.
Joined in studio by Solidarity TD, Mick Barry. Mick, good morning.
Good morning, PJ.
You've been around to all the places this morning, Capwell, Kent Station and the main bus station on Parnell Place. What's really getting to people is the train drivers and the Irish Rail staff that have taken part in this morning when their union was telling them not to. This is nasty from day one.
I think the train drivers are to be congratulated on the stand that they took this morning.
Even against the instructions of their union?
I think the stand that they took this morning was very important. They clearly understand that what happens to bus errand drivers today can and most likely will happen to them tomorrow. And what we're looking at here is cuts in take-home pay.
I know, but I just want to clarify, scale. Mick, even against the instructions of their union, you support what they did?
I think their union is, listening to Dermot O'Leary there, clearly saying the point has been made, and probably people will be going back relatively soon. But I think the stand that they took this morning was very important. Let me put it to you this way, PJ. The government have been taking a hard line on this. It's a do-nothing government with a do-nothing minister, but they know that by doing nothing, they're helping the management and the agenda of low pay and privatisation. They would have factored in this morning that there would be a strong turnout at the bus depots. They would have been nervously looking at the railway stations. I think they will have been surprised that the railways came out on day one and knocked back a bit by that. Hopefully that's enough to force talks, and there should be talks with the minister directly involved. If it's not, I think the key will probably be Dublin Bus and the DART, and I think they will be terrified
of
action
there. Do you
really
think that could happen, Mick? I know, look, we're 160 miles south here, so Dublin doesn't matter to us a whole lot most of the time. But if Dublin Bus and the DART were to go, you'd be talking about 1.5 million people discommoded.
I have no doubt that there are discussions taking place among Dublin bus workers and among DART workers about taking a similar stance that was taken to the railway workers in Kent Station, Cork this morning and elsewhere. And I also do feel that, you know, you could be looking at a long, drawn-out, stalemate battle with the bus drivers versus the government. If the railway workers and the likes of the Dublin Bus and the Lewis workers come on board, it can mean it's a shorter, sharper one, which results in a victory, hopefully, for the bus workers. But crucially, and this is a point I really want to register, PJ, right? Force the government to address in a serious fashion the question of serious state funding of public bus services, transport services in this country. The government are trying to run public transport services on a shoestring, and they're making the ordinary customer and the drivers pay. In other European countries, up to half the income of transport companies comes from state funding. Here, it's closer to 10%. It's an absolute joke. It has to be addressed. So hopefully this action will do two things. It'll force the government and Minister Ross to come to their senses and get involved in talks, and also to address seriously the question of proper service funding for what is a hugely important public service.
Is Minister Shane Ross a disgrace to his office this morning? He's not taking media.
Yes, he is a disgrace. He is a do-nothing minister in a do-nothing government. But he ain't stupid, and he understands that by doing nothing, he is facilitating the new management in Bus Éireann and their agenda, which is an agenda to turn the company into a low-pay company with a race to the bottom and privatisation. That is Shane Ross's agenda, but I think what the rail workers and the bus workers have done this morning has been to fire a serious shot across his bows.
Mick, I said this to Dermot O'Leary, and I'm saying it to you. Looking out that window, it is a gorgeous spring morning and we have a nice weekend ahead of us. If you had to do this on, say, Tuesday or Wednesday morning when we had snow and rain and horrible weather, you wouldn't have so much support. You're lucky with the weather, but that public support won't last forever.
There has been an interesting issue about public support of strikes in recent times, PJ. And that is strikes which would be expected to be not the most popular have turned out to have a high degree of public support. The Dublin bus strike was a case in point. We've seen teachers, we've seen Tesco and other examples. And I think a reason for that is ordinary working people across the board have taken so much pain in the last 8 to 10 years that when they see one group standing up for their rights and refusing to take cuts and take-home pay of thousands of euros a year, there is an innate understanding and sympathy. And I would appeal to people to keep up that public support. This is a very important issue for every worker in the country and the future of public transport services.
All right, Mick, thanks for dropping in. Do appreciate it. Mick Barry from Solidarity. Deputy Mick Barry. 1850 715 996. Now, our reporter Ciara Evans is down at, is it Kent Station you're at, Ciara? Good morning.
Morning, PJ. I've moved from Kent Station to Parnell Place. And
right,
as you join me now, the president of the MBRU is addressing the workers here at Parnell Place.
Okay.
News just getting to us that the Irish rail workers at Kent Station have agreed to go back to work at 11 o'clock following a meeting recently.
Okay, so that is breaking news now, that the Irish rail workers at Kent, just to tariff for listeners, they will go back to work at 11. Is it that they were they just shaking a stick to say we can do this if we want to, or what?
Yeah, well, I just spoke to President John Maloney, who I also met down at Kent Station, and they contacted the Bus Éireann workers in Cork this morning at around 4:45 to say that they would be showing their support. So they've got their message across now to say that they, you know, are showing their support to the Bus Éireann workers here in Cork and across the country. Massive numbers out, around 30 drivers this morning from Irish Rail, and here between Parnell Place and Capwell, you have close to 200 drivers out striking today.
What kind of public support have you been getting out there, Ciara?
Well, as you can hear, the motorists are offering their support to the picket here in Parnell Place. People seem to be prepared within reason, and not obviously for the disruption to the rail services this morning, but have taken certain measures for the bus strike. So they are getting on with their day. There is people who are travelling up to the Ireland match at Kent Station this morning who are particularly disrupted. I came across tourists who wouldn't know about how to go across about getting access to different areas of the country, looking at their options. There is various disruptions, but as you have been mentioning, it's a beautiful morning, so people are happy to take those alternative options.
Did I hear you have someone from MBRU with you there, Ciara?
I do. Duro Donovan from the MBRU is one of the main players, and he's going to speak to you now, Peter, just about what's happening here in Cork. I'm going to pass you over to Duro Donovan.
Okay, Ciara, thank you. I'll come back to you in a second. Chair, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call there from Ciara. What happened at Kent Station, what was that?
I tell you now, PJ, exactly what happened. We were at our depot this morning about half four this morning, and around 5 o'clock, right, we received a phone call that our colleagues in the train withdrew their labour this morning in support of their certain colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
So we done, just a few of us got together and we went down to meet the workers, right, and thank them for supporting us. And I believe PJ are going back in as we speak. I believe they're going back into working as we speak at 11 o'clock.
Okay. Talk to me about, you're a driver yourself as well as being a union activist. What would I got a copy of the letters issued the other day. If all of the things that Bus Éireann want to do were done, how would it affect you personally?
Personally, PJ, what it would mean to me, PJ, would be €145 a week deduction.
Off your take-home?
Off my take-home pay.
My God.
The company are fibbing about there, 10%, it's nearly 30% of your wages, PJ. That's what we're speaking about here. And PJ, if it does come in, PJ, we'll have a lot of fellas here that will just pack up, PJ, because they'll only be taking home €400 a week, and they'll do better elsewhere.
Will fellas pack it in and go private? Because the private operators seem to be thriving.
Yeah. PJ, I tell you, they will, PJ. I had a lot of new lads here coming up to me. Lads are running here 2-3 years, and they're after taking out mortgages and what have you. And these lads are really, really, they're worried big time. They're very worried about their jobs and security and what have you.
Now, having you face a loss of €140 a week in your pay, nobody can but feel for you. But at the same time, what about the people trying to go to school, trying to go to work?
Yeah. No, PJ,
you're discommoding tens of thousands of people here.
We are, and we apologise, sincerely apologise to the public for discommoding them this morning. But after the meeting yesterday, the union, we were left with no alternative but to go this morning. PJ, they're at us for the last 5. How we weren't before in the last 5 weeks is a miracle, to be quite honest, because they kept throwing things at us. Mm-hmm. Every day we went into work, these things being thrown at us. Cuts here. Mm-hmm. And eventually, it came to the boil yesterday.
How determined are fellas to stick this through?
PJ, I tell you now, as I speak to you, we just had a little meeting there ourselves, and we had a little huddle there ourselves about it, and we're here for the long haul, PJ. We know it's going to take a long time.
What'll it take to make you reconsider?
I heard you speaking to our General Secretary there earlier on, PJ, and exactly what he said. There's only one way to resolve it. PJ, we're miles and miles apart. Even after the talks that we had for the couple of days in the Labour Court, we're still miles apart.
Mm.
The company don't seem to want to hear our side of it for some reason, whatever is behind it, being political or whatever, but they definitely don't want to hear our side of it. And it's just trying to get them. When we had them at the table in the LRC, it was like a joke. Yeah.
Mm.
They really and truly had no interest in India.
The minister seems to have washed his hands of all of this. How do drivers feel?
I tell you now, PJ, I'd be very surprised if we don't bring this minister down, what's going on now, regarding what happened in train stations around the country this morning. I believe Tralee, Sligo, Limerick, other areas that there was no trains operated this morning, and how this man say he can't get involved, PJ, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable, really, you know. And I hope to make me Hall Martin and these fellows that are listening to this morning, PJ, that they'll say to get involved once and for all now. We had him in the bus station there a couple of weeks ago, Michael McGrath in Carrigaline, and he 10 minutes, isn't it? And we haven't heard a word from the man since. Not a word from him, PJ. And he promised us the sun, stars and the moon there a couple of weeks ago in St. Parliament says when we invited him down.
All right, okay, listen. Gerard, pass me back over to Kira there and we'll talk again. Take care.
Thanks, PJ, thank you.
Cheers. That's yourself there back to me, Kira, are you? Great. Listen, you're going to stay with me for the morning, I think, and maybe talk to a few commuters and send us the recordings. We'll get a Vox Pop going for later on, get the mood of people around, all right?
Absolutely.
Cheers, Kira. Thanks very much. And appreciate that. Breaking story. It looks as if the railway, the Kent station end of it anyway, will be sorted by about 11 o'clock. That's Kira Revens, our news reporter for the 96FM newsroom. I want to go straight to the business development manager at Éireann Red Éireann and Andrew Roach. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning, PJ.
Forgive me, my
voice is broken. It's coming out of a bad head cold, so
that's
forgive me.
Perfectly understandable. This caught you on the hop this morning, but I understand now that it'll be sorted in the next hour or so.
Yes, unfortunately for our customers and our commuters in both commuter and in the city, we've had no trains out of Cork Kent station this morning. But the good news is that it looks from 11 o'clock onwards, we will have train services. So the first train to Dublin is scheduled to be the 11:20.
Mm. Did you have the rolling stock in place for the start of a morning shift? Because I know from previously that that's important. You've got to get the stuff in place.
Yes, it is. There's overnight rolling stock in place here in Cork every night. And unfortunately, now the sets are a little bit out of place, but it won't take long for them to get back into service properly.
So the first train to Dublin should be when?
11:20.
Okay. What about Mallow and Cove in particular? What about Cove and East Cork? When will that start?
Again, from 11 o'clock onwards, they begin to roll. The trains from Dublin, the 7 o'clock from Dublin, the 8 o'clock from Dublin, the 9 o'clock from Dublin, we're all operating as far as Mallow and turning around there and going back to Dublin. Unfortunately for us here in Cork is that the platforms that we need to bring in trains to in Cork are actually full with outbound trains that are sitting there since early this morning.
And of course you don't have the usual luxury when someone has when a train has stopped in Mallow, you don't have the facility of a bus to bring them to Cork.
Exactly, yes.
All right. OK, well, hopefully that'll all be rectified.
That'll be rectified now from 11 o'clock onwards, exactly.
All right. OK, Andrew Roach, thank you for that. Do appreciate it. Andrew Roach, Business Development Manager at Éireann Road Éireann, 1850-715-996. There's the story that's broken in the last 10 minutes that the NBRU, in Cork anyway, can't speak for the rest of the country, but members of the NBRU in Irish Rail in Cork who were not driving commuter trains this morning and weren't operating between Cork and Dublin, they are going to go back to work from 11 o'clock this morning. So that story's broken here with us on the opinion line in the last 10 minutes. 1850-715-996. I want to ask you to do a text poll for me. We'll run this up to 10 o'clock this morning. If you support the bus workers, text bus yes. If you don't, text bus no. Simple as that. Bus yes or bus no. 0833 96 96 96. If you support the bus workers, bus yes. If you don't support the bus workers, then bus no. To 0833 96 96 96. Text or WhatsApp. Shane Ross has been surprisingly quiet for Shane Ross this morning. I put it to McBarry TD and I've put it to others. This is just my own view. You know, I always said along the time when this dispute was sort of maturing, if you want to use that word, there are facilities in place like Workplace Relations Commission, and there's facilities in place like the Labour Court to sort these things out, and the minister was staying out of it. The fact that he's not available this morning to the media hasn't so much as issued a statement as far as I can see. That's a disgrace. That's an absolute disgrace. 1850-715-996. Bus yes or bus no to 083 396 96 96. I have a giveaway on the show today for the marketing ball, which is happening on the 1st of April. Great giveaway. We'll do that next.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail. Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM.
Text the Opinion Line now. This is what you came for. 083 396 96 96. Cork's 96 FM.
There was a poll on the journal.ie. Declan points out to us on Twitter that it didn't get, the bus workers didn't get too much support. Well, I can tell you now, just looking at our text page during the break there, and first of all, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of texts coming in. A lot of support out there for the bus drivers. We're going to let this run until 10. 083 396 96 96. But on the marketing ball, that's coming up on the 1st of April at the Silver Strings, the Clayton Silver Strings, which is looking awesome since they did it up. It's a futuristic night. That's the theme, futuristic. It's a black tie night, fabulous night, great night, the marketing ball. We're proud media partners of it, as we were last year, we are again this year. It's a fabulous night out. You get brilliant goodie bags, fantastic food, music, entertainment. There was a raffle. There's all sorts going on. It's a great night out. And we have now, the tickets are almost sold out, but I have secured two tickets to one of the best nights out of the year. Black night tonight. Black tie night at the marketing ball. Because it's a futuristic... No, I won't tell you how to do it. You'll have to stay with me for a few minutes. I'll tell you how to do it this side of 10 o'clock. You have to stay with me for the morning, by the way. Now, Tony Cullinan, you're on the opinion line. Good morning.
Morning, PJ.
Normally, we talk to you about aviation, but you did, you pretend the lads, you studied transport as a science. Where? In CIT, was it?
Which was the regional tech at the time.
Okay, okay. This dispute is very nasty. Now, at least the train drivers have pulled back for now.
For how long is the question?
Do you think it'll get worse?
It's going to get very dirty. Mm. I honestly believe the government are going down the Thatcherway in England trying to break. She broke the coal miners and Fine Gael, they're on privatisation. Like, PJ, first and foremost, just speaking of us today, people with hospital appointments in Cork on the free bus travel can't use the pass today.
Yes. There's no bus to use it on.
Secondly, this strike is going to have to be sorted, whether it's in tomorrow, next month, or in 3 months' time. This has to be sorted. And I'm shocked at Micheál Martin, to be quite honest. His father worked in the buses.
He did?
With my late dad. And to see the likes of this being left get to the level it's at today, this should never have been allowed to happen. This should have been put to bed weeks ago.
Mm. What do you think of the performance of Shane Ross?
He's an absolute disgrace. When he was in opposition, he was for the worker, the worker, the worker. Since this has happened, I even heard Shane Ross mention it. He was never so silent on the news.
Mm. Well, I was listening, as I do, I switch between all the various news shows in the morning. I was listening to Morning Ireland very early this morning on RTE, and he turned them down.
That's right, I heard it this morning.
He turned them down. If he's turning down national radio, he certainly won't talk to the likes of me. But he's not talking to anybody. I haven't seen so much as a statement from the man this morning.
But was Micheál Martin on this? He's propping up the government.
I
know Micheál quite well, and he's a genuine guy. Mm. But why doesn't he get involved?
Actually, don't want Fergal Brenda there. If you have 2 seconds, I know the lines are crazy. Pop a call through to Micheál Martin there. See, will he make a comment on this? All right, see what he'll say. That's a good point, Frank.
Oh, PJ, there's another one or two things I'd like to say about it.
Drive on.
If the unions agree to a pay freeze for workers, maybe for an interim period of 12 to 18 months, maybe they could sit down at the workplace relations and try and get this thing sorted in the next few days. Like Ray Herlin, who's the acting CEO, I don't know what salary he's on. Why don't he come out and lead from the top and say he's going to take a reduction in his wages? Mm. He's only one of the top managers in managing the company.
Well, I mean, if you listen to Ger, who was on there a while ago, in his pay packet, what they want to do, it would take €140 out of his weekly pay packet. That's ridiculous.
Well, PJ, what they're trying to do, and I can see this for a long, long time, they want to privatise bus airing. Like, there's no national bus company in the world making money. They're not making money.
Mm.
And bus airing is not going to make money. The city services would certainly break even or make money. I've studied this and I know how it works. But when you have buses going out to like Carrick, Navarre, Whitechurch and Glenville, but a handful of people, but these people are taxpayers, they're entitled to a service. Like, number 3 will make money all day long, number 8 will make money.
Yes.
But you have services going out to the rural parts of the city and county that are not making money. And these people are entitled, they're entitled to a bus service, the same as you and I, that are living within where a city bus runs.
Yes.
And this is the irony of it. But, whether it's today or tomorrow, they're going to have to sit down and knock heads. Yeah. And sit down around the table and try and resolve it, because this is going to get worse.
Well, we sincerely hope it won't. We thought it was going to be worse than it should have been.
They privatised the route between Laois and Clonmel. Mm. They took it off bus air. And under the PSO system, they're giving a private contractor €540,000 a year to run that service.
Yeah.
But, there's some vested interest in this, to privatise bus air. Like, Air Cork run a brilliant service between Cork and Dublin.
Uh-huh.
But they want service for Mayo.
Now, to be fair, Dermot O'Leary said to me that that's one of the ones that is unionised and people pay well. Are people reasonably well paid in it? So, you know, it's not like they're all yellow packers.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it. But like, they won't drive into Fermanagh, they won't drive into Mitchelstown, they won't go into Kerr, they won't drive to Clonmel.
Yeah.
They won't go into Port Laois. They'll do a direct service, which is a very, very good service. But mark my words, PJ, the price is going to increase if bus air is privatised. you're not going to travel to Dublin with Gobi or with Air Coach for €30 return. That's not going
to
happen.
Well, it can't be financially sustainable, to be perfectly honest. It's too cheap.
Because I've done the figures on this and they're only breaking even on it.
All right, okay. Tony, thanks very much. 1850-715-996. Tony believes it's going to get worse before it gets better. We sincerely hope not. We have filed a request with Micheál Martin's office. He may comment, then again, he might not. 1850-715-996. Daniel, I'll be with you in a couple of minutes, but first, Frank. Frank, you said that it's no mystery now why Shane Ross got the transport gig.
Absolutely not. It's probably, PJ, I think Tony, first of all, is right. It's going to get an awful lot worse before it gets better. But I think it's the perfect storm now, the way it's after working out for Fine Gael. I mean, we all know Fine Gael were a party who like privatisation. I mean, there's no disputing that. So whenever this government was formed, I mean, anybody who's surprised that Shane Ross got transport shouldn't be surprised at all. Because,
Why do you say that?
I read nearly all of Shane Ross's books, and for the last 20 years, he's been saying that TIE is a waste of space, it'll never work, it should be privatised. Look what's happened now. I mean, Shane Ross is appointed whenever that, we just say last summer or March, whatever. In January, a brand new CEO was appointed, or temporary CEO, as they're calling him. Like, I don't know how temporary you can be. I think the word temporary was used because it wasn't the CEO that wasn't going to last, the CIE.
Yeah.
It's Shane Ross appointed this man, I presume. In January, the CEO came out and said that if the big cuts were made, they'd be insolvent within 18 months.
They're talking about not being able to sign off on accounts in May. I mean, that's our national bus company.
I agree with you. But the actual same person who said that in January said they'd be insolvent within 18 months. Now, what we get from 18 months down to 3 months is beyond me.
Yeah. But do you think, Frank, that, you know, okay, you can all say, and you're right, public transport never makes money anywhere, and you only have to go to Spain, any part of Spain or other parts of the world, where you'll see fantastic, you'll see public transport in Spain that would put us to absolute shame. It can't be making money. It can't be making money.
No, it can't. And it's not, it was never designed to make money. As Tony said, okay, the main city routes will, like, but you do have to have a public service aspect. I mean, if you think, today, Friday, probably the biggest pension collecting day of the week for pensioners.
Yes.
Now, I do personally think that the unions made a boo-boo in that I think they should have given or said that we will start an all-out strike on Monday just to give the likes of pensioners hospital appointments a chance to make alternative arrangements. And they crave, obviously, public backing. And I think they've started on the wrong foot, I think, except that they're so lucky with the weather this morning.
Yeah, the weather has fallen on their side.
I think, as you said a while ago, if it had been Tuesday with the snow, they'd have been castigated.
All right. Frank, thank you. 1850-715-996. So far, and we'll keep it running until after the 10 o'clock news, the text poll is 74% in favour of the bus workers. Bus yes or bus no to 083-396-9696. Yes if you support, no if you don't. Daniel's been waiting there for a while. Thanks, Daniel. Your point?
My point is, PJ, right? Well, for all the ones that have free travel, especially the elderly, you know, who's living in the country areas and all that, right?
Yes, yes.
And then people that's got hospital appointments. Okay?
Yes.
No. The free travel pass is a legal document, right?
Okay.
Right. Now, I think, legally standing, maybe you might get some advice on this, but are we not entitled to get a taxi for those appointments and CIE refund and reimburse us for those products?
That's very interesting.
I think there's a legal binding there somewhere.
That's very interesting.
You know, it's not my fault.
Are you discommoded that way this morning?
Well, there will be, yes. Well, I don't have a hospital appointment this morning, thank God.
Mm.
But for those that do, and for the pensioners that's living in the rural areas that have no transport.
Or for someone trying to collect a pension?
I think they'll legally get a taxi and CIE pay them for it. It's as simple as that. You know, it's an absolute disgrace. Anyway, CIE, I think, is finished. Don't hit the slalom there, you know. Mm.
Mm. Do you think that Shane Ross should just literally tell them, pay over how much they need? Or do we need to take a different view? I mean, there are those who believe Shane Ross should just open the taxpayer's checkbook and write a check now. He said he won't do that. That's all he said.
Privatisation is down the line. It's down the line. Michal Martin didn't even come on the radio this morning.
We've put in a request. We'll give him time to come back to us.
I mean, he's going into his shell. They're all just withdrawn this morning because it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And they're not going to get any pay increases. It's going to go down anyway, if anything.
I talked to one man this morning, and 600 an odd euro a month he'll have to lose in his wages if these cuts or these changes were to go through. That's, no one can sustain that.
No. Even the other clerical workers within CIE, I mean, he said, was this too many of them? How many inspectors have we here in the city and the FD cars and all that? Maybe there should be cutbacks in that department, but not the drivers and that.
Okay. But they'd have your support, do they?
Oh, they would, yeah. But try and find out that legal side of it.
The interesting one. All right. Cheers, Daniel. Thanks, you. 1850-715-996. Daniel is wondering, if you had this morning a doctor's appointment and you were going to get the bus and use your free travel pass, given to you by the government, legally binding. If you got a taxi to the doctor, would you have to be reimbursed? That's an interesting one. 1850-715-996. Text, bus yes or bus no to 083-396-9696. The marketing ball, giving away two tickets. Fabulous night coming up on April the 1st. It's tomorrow week, actually. April the 1st. Pair of tickets. I have three pieces of theme music from futuristic television shows. Three pieces of you've got one now, one later, and one at the end. You cannot call me until you have all three answers, because I'll ask you for all three. Two of them are easy. One of them is a stinker. I think the first one is the easiest one. So identify this. Don't call now. Write it down. Keep it safe. This is the first of three pieces of futuristic television theme music. Now, if you can't get that, you shouldn't be let out on your own. Write it down, keep it safe, and I'll be looking for a winner at the end of the show. 1850-715-996.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail. Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM.
Cork's 96 FM.
The Cork Diary.
Cork City Garda Community Policing Unit is delighted to present Songs of Hope and Joy, which will be held at Cork City Hall at 7:30 p.m. on Friday the 7th of April. All proceeds from this charity concert will go to Pieta House. The headline act for the concert is soprano Cara O'Sullivan, who will be supported by the band of An Garda Síochána and the Cork Garda Male Voice Choir. Tickets are available at Pro Musica on Oliver Plunkett Street, Cork, and from community policing offices in Cork City Division. To get your event mentioned, email corkdiary at 96fm.ie.
Cork's 96fm. Call the Opinion Line.
This is what you came for.
1850-715-996. Cork's 96fm.
There's a crash on the N25 Cork-bound side of it, just for exit 4, Carrigtwohill. Traffic building up in the area, Bigi Cúramach. Irish Rail Service, just so you know, in case you missed it, story broke about 25 minutes ago here on the Opinion Line. Irish Rail Services will resume out of Kent Station at 11 o'clock. The railway drivers are going back to work. They came out in sympathy with the bus drivers just in the early morning. They're going to go back to work at 11 o'clock. So rail services to Cove and rail services to Mallow and to Dublin and to anywhere else they go out of Cork will resume just after 11 o'clock, that storybook on the Opinion Line in the last 35 minutes. Paddy will be after the news, I'd say, lads. Ken O'Flynn, good morning.
Good morning, PJ. Thank you,
Ken, and thank you for coming on with us. You've made a suggestion to Cork City Council that they may be able to help people here.
Well, I've requested that the manager or the CEO of the city that we would suspend this parking while strikes are going on. We're all, you know, we all have sympathy for the drivers, I think, in fairness. And equally, we must have sympathy for those that are taking taxis this morning, that are working on basic wage and spending the first hour and a half, perhaps, of their wages, of their hourly rate on taxis travelling into work. And that's the reality of what's going on at the moment. It's inconveniencing a lot of people. I've met people this morning who arrived at train stations and said, you know, that their train wasn't there and ended up having to take taxis into the city. But look, what I've requested that the city council do, I haven't had a reply back, but I'm looking for them to suspend this parking in the city. So to first of all, to say we're open for business and make it convenient for people to come into the city and use the city. People that generally wouldn't be travelling in, taking cars, etc. as well. I think that would be a good gesture from the city as well.
All right. Well, we'll see if that... I can't imagine you'll get any joy, but at least you asked.
Well, I think it's important that we're asking. I think it's important that we come up with the city council and they come up with some
options. You know what they say, Ken?
That are trading.
A dumb priest never got a parish. And you were never a dumb priest. Talk to you again.
Just dumb.
Thanks, Councillor Kenneth O'Flynn, 1850-715-996. WhatsApp from a guy who says he's a member of the Irish Road Haulage Association. 50 years ago, the government controlled the majority of haulage for moving cement and beer kegs by road, then onto rail. They had it all. Now they have nothing. And it makes no difference. The country should be put out to tender. Get rid of the subs to Bus Éireann. Yes, I'm in the haulage industry, but not the bus business. It drives me mad. I'm 36. I have 15 trucks. I work 12 hours most days to make sure everyone's paid on a Thursday. These guys on the picket line have no idea the massive cost of transport. They're someone who clearly doesn't support the bus workers. We will continue our text poll during the news and give you the result afterwards. Text bus yes or bus no to 083-396-9696.
You're listening to a repeat of the 96FM Opinion Line. Phone and text lines are now closed. The Opinion Line with PJ Coogan.
This is what you came for.
1850-715-996.
I tweeted early this morning that the name they'd given for that guy, that London attacker, was Adrian Elms. Now it turns out to be Adrian Russell Ajayi. Was the name on his birth cert. Elms was one of the aliases that he used over the years and one of the aliases he used when he was working as a teacher. But the simple fact is the guy was English. He was born in Kent, Adrian Russell. So why we need to stop immigrants coming in if we fear them. 1850-715-996, just chucking that out there. For what it's worth, we're talking now about the bus strike, of course, this morning. The trains will be back on at 11. That we now know at this stage. John, good morning.
Morning, PJ. How are you?
Good. You had to cancel a hospital appointment.
I did. First thing I must say, PJ, is I'm totally in favour of what the bus drivers are doing. Right?
Okay.
I think they're right.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I've had to cancel my weekly physio with my leg, right? But I can do what because I depend on the buses. To go over there, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it looks like that's going to be the way from here on in to the such time as this bus strike is fixed because it would cost me over 20 euro to go on taxis, right? I'd have to get a car from Ferrell to the Vic, then get a car from the Vic back.
Yeah, so it's physio you were going for, so... Okay, you could be sore if you don't get your physio, but it's not life-threatening. But can you imagine someone who had to get to a really important appointment?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm wondering, Peter, does that man that was on with you earlier, right, would Bus Éireann actually be responsible for paying for taxis?
Well, it's just a question he was raising that, you know, your pass is a legal document indicating that when you take the bus, the government will pay for it. So, the bus isn't there, so, you know,
it's a very interesting point, Peter. Maybe you could ring your solicitors and try and get something off it, maybe, yeah?
Well, you know what? If anyone has a legal viewpoint on it, they're welcome to give us a call. John, I hope you won't have to cancel too many appointments, but thanks for your call, 1850-715-996. That text poll was pretty much running around 75%. In favour of the drivers, by the way. About 75%. I'll give you the figures in a minute. Margaret, I don't think Margaret approves of the bus strike. Good morning, Margaret.
Hello, how are you?
Are you? You're not happy?
No, because my daughter, myself, go to Heron House. You know, we have an appointment for Heron House for addiction problem, and we need to get the bus, and you know, we live so far away, like, that we have bus passes that you couldn't afford taxis, you know?
I know, I know, I know. Now, the bus driver, the bus drivers are very unhappy with what's been done to their wages, and that's why they're gone on strike.
I know, I wouldn't blame them, like, because it's not right, like, you know what I mean? If we were working for them, I'd be the same myself, you know? But it's very unfair to other people too. Like, you know, we're not the only one.
Yeah. Okay, Margaret, thank you for that. 1850-715-996. I'll get to you, John, in Mallow shortly. Well, Paddy O'Brien's on the line. Paddy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, PJ.
There's been a suggestion made on a forum, internet forum, that you should be helping to organise lifts. Now, you do that as a matter of course anyway. This is a difficult situation for many of the people you support, Paddy.
This is awful. When Brenda rang me, I said the same thing this morning to Brenda very early. This is a major situation. It's an awful problem. And I'm not going to get involved who is to blame, but I mean, whether it's the management or the unions, but can I just digress for a moment from the suggestion about a helping? The minister is getting paid $200,000 a year. Yes. He has to get involved. He must get involved. The situation is so serious in relation to the public of Ireland at the moment, young and old, that they teach to get involved themselves. And I'll make a point, I think most people will agree with me. Yeah. I know that sometime, whether it's 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, or in terms of weeks, they will come to an agreed solution. Yes. And the unions, the bus drivers, go back to work. They should work on that now, immediately. Because, like all strikes, they go on, they cause hassle, they cause inconvenience to people, traders lose business, what have you, and then there's a solution they come up with, that both parties agree with. That should be done straight off, because what's happening at the moment, I talk about the elderly. The elderly, I know everyone's affected, school children, what have you, but because I work with the elderly, of course the elderly are affected. But in relation to transport, I mean, all I would make a very, very special appeal to people to help the elderly at this awful time. And it's up to people in every parish, in community associations. They are aware themselves of the people who live alone. And it's not just take people to the post office, take people out for food. Many people this today would normally go to town or go to a local shop for food. Mm. And they would travel by bus. And you have a lot of elderly people, not just in remote parts of the country, but in the city. If this situation is ignored today and nobody helps them, there could be want of food, which is very, very, very serious indeed.
One of your big things, Paddy, constantly for many, many years, is loneliness. That could be really, really a real big problem if this continues.
It is, and you know something? It's a frightening situation with come over elderly people, because that they are asking themselves one question: oh God, how long will this continue? How long am I going to feel this way? How long am I depend? You know, it's just awful, awful, awful. The only good news at the moment is that the rail drivers are going back to work this morning at 11:30. That's probably some help. But the whole country will come to a standstill, and it's going to create major problems. And as I said, I got a call, for instance, in the last half an hour. I have a heat at the over 60s tonight at Mayfield. I have a heat tomorrow in Collins. But I got two calls this morning from two groups of people. Paddy, we won't be going. Why? The bus. They're en route. Small little things like that. But the thing is that I'm going to repeat myself here. I think everybody listening to your programme this morning, PJ, should say, OK, I know a lady down the street, Mrs. Murphy, Mrs. McGrath. I'm going to speak to her. I'm going to go to the shop for her. I'm going to go to the butcher for her. I might go to the chemist. She might want to have a prescription carried out and help her. Everybody at local level now can do something to ease off the hardship that people can experience over, I don't know how long this bus strike is going, but we all have a very important role to play. And I think it's up to everybody. For instance, I know people who travel on buses to Mass on Sunday. People can say on Sunday, you know a person who normally is traveling on bus, contact that person. We all have a very, we've all have a role to play in this situation now.
All right, Paddy, listen, so if you know someone who uses a bus, give them a hand, give them a dig out. Thank you very much. Paddy O'Brien, 1850-715-996. I think John isn't too happy with the bus drivers. Morning, John.
Yeah, look, I support the strikes, and I have done for years and years. Now, I have a gripe, and this is this. I get a bus from Mallow to Cork. I was on last week, this time last week, and the bus was just pulling out, went a few yards. A woman knocked on the door to get in the bus. The driver wouldn't do it. I was at the back. Had I been at the front, I would have reared up. It happened to me as well, and others. Now, this is people say this is a minor point, but people might have an appointment up at UCA at the hospital. People might have had a business in Cork. And if the drivers have got to have manners, I'm not saying all of them, there's some very decent drivers, great drivers on the Galway-Cork run, very good. But you get one or two, and they bring an ugly side to it, that if you're not there and you're not loaded in on the bus, damn you, you know, you've had it.
But you do hear that, and when you put that to Bus Éireann, they'll tell you, well, we don't want that to happen, so...
Yeah, I went to the. I've often gone to them inspectors, and they say you got to fill in a sort of red tape. You fill in forms, and you make complaints, and you think. And all I want is a bit of decency. Now then, that's out of the way. This country's falling apart, and it probably is. And that last caller about loneliness and people—that's there, whether there's a bus strike or not. The buses help to get people to connect them with towns, villages, and things. Why is it that now? At a time when you've got all the technology, you've got, I don't know, the quality of life should improve. And I've been on to you many times before about the Nordic countries, Sweden and Norway and Denmark and Holland, and how they've got up to a certain quality, and then it's up to yourself what you want to go beyond. But we seem to digress. Our quality is going down and going down while there's... You can on your smartphone, you get anywhere in the world. You can Skype anybody. I do, brothers in Australia, South Africa. And yet people are left behind as if they don't matter.
Yeah, and you've thousands of them this morning because they can't get a bus to work or to school or to mass or anywhere they want to go or to get their pension. John, thank you very much. 1850-715-996. Caller Susan in Carrigaline says she's at work. She's listening to the show. She said 90% of the people who've been speaking so far have free travel passes. Not sure you're at 90%, Susan, but... And what a disgrace. They should all pay. John in Cove says it's the free travel is the problem. Should be taken off of them. They're all... Well, he uses the word joyriders. This was on a few weeks ago. There's a colossal amount of money spent on free travel by the government and by Bus Éireann, but it would be very much unfair to categorise people on free travel who've earned it through working all their years as joyriders. No sign of Shane Ross this morning, but to be fair, we put in a call to Micheál Martin and the Fianna Fáil leader joins me. Morning, Micheál.
Good morning, PJ.
Shane Ross is invisible today. Disgraceful.
Absolutely. I think he's been invisible for too long on this, because we've been calling consistently now for the last number of months for a roundtable talk on the future, both structural, legislative and so on, of public transport, including Bus Éireann. What we meant by that was we believe the National Transport Authority, the Department of Transport, the unions and management should have got together, particularly to discuss issues around that free travel, because there's no question that Bus Éireann have not been getting their fair sum of money that would tally with the number of people who avail of the expressway service, for example, and who avail of other services on the free travel scheme. In other words, the Department of Social Protection isn't allocating, in our view, an adequate sum of money that would equate with the number of people who are travelling on the service. I mean, I think it's about... As low as 40%, I can check that in terms of the fare. I mean, I think you're talking about €4 on the expressway comes via the free travel, even though the fare is 11.
Well, the simple fact of the matter is that the amount of money, the amount of subvention Bus Éireann is getting from the government is ridiculously short of what it needs. But the only comment I heard Shane Ross make about this whole thing was he wasn't going to go in anywhere with a checkbook. That's not the right attitude from the minister.
It's not, and again, I think he's he's been obfuscating for quite long. In other words, he's been deliberately saying things like, I'm not getting involved in an industrial relations dispute, but our view is this has never been an industrial relations dispute on its own. There are industrial relations dimension to it, and yes, they should be properly dealt with through the Labour Relations Commission and so on, but there are other dimensions to it. Fundamentally, do we want to retain and sustain a public service transport company to service the regions and the towns and cities outside of Dublin? My answer to that is an emphatic yes, we do. And then if that is the fundamental policy principle, what flows from that? And what flows from that should be fairness and equity in terms of the allocation of resources to maintain and sustain that. And also then, yes, efficiencies and savings as well, to make sure that it's properly managed and sustainable into the future. But we haven't had that multidimensional talks yet that covers all of that. And I think he has been hiding behind the IR excuse for not getting involved, and he has to get involved from a policy perspective, because the situation is going to get much worse
given the Dáil numbers.
Not intervention.
Yeah. Given the Dáil numbers, and we've discussed it many times, you hold a unique amount of muscle, yourself and your party colleagues, to go into the Dáil on Tuesday morning, and or you could call openly now. Would you go so far as to call on Shane Ross to intervene immediately?
Yes, sorry, we've been calling for that for quite some time, and our view is that this needs to be resolved, and needs to be resolved quickly, and a template needs to be established to facilitate its resolution. And that means some contribution and commitment from the Department of Social Protection in the context of the free travel scheme, a re-look at the public service obligation in relation to some of the expressway services. In other words, where you have multiple stops along the route from, say, Waterford to Dublin and so on, some of those, if those stops are to be maintained, will require public service obligation dimension to them. That's where the state comes in and says, OK, we will subsidise that element of the journey, because it's not in any way, it's loss-making and it can't make money, but we want to pick people up. You know?
Is there enough in his refusal to engage to pressurise the confidence and supply, Micheál?
Well, put it this way to you, I mean, we're very clear that the retention and support and maintenance of Bus Éireann as a public service transport company is something that is a fundamental part of our policy position. And we want that vindicated, if you like, or we want that sustained. And therefore, that will require a policy response as well as an industrial relations response. And our priority at this stage isn't getting this dispute resolved, because the dangers we all know...
Could it threaten Fianna Fáil's support for the government?
Well, I said that. I put my policy position. I don't want to be, if you like, making the situation worse by upping the ante.
That's the question. It's coming in on our texts and messages, Micheál, and that's why we called you.
I appreciate that, yeah, but
You're in a unique position of power to put a unique amount of pressure on the government and on the minister.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but that's, you know, that using the nuclear option at this early stage in terms of this particular dispute, there will be other disputes, is not necessarily the route that one should go down or have to go down. In other words, I'm making a very clear, putting down very clear markers to the government and to Minister Ross as to our fundamental policy priority. The longer this dispute continues, that policy priority becomes undermined. In other words, it starts losing substantial amounts of money day by day, and that then seriously jeopardises the sustainability of the company. So I'm very clear on what I'm saying, and I think the Minister can pick up what I'm saying, as can the government, and we'll be saying this face-to-face with the government as well.
All right,
and we'll of course be engaging on this issue in the Dáil again next week, as I have been for the last 3 to 4 months now, and there have been talks in the intervening period, but the sides were simply too far apart, and in my view, there was too narrow a focus on the industrial relations dimension to this, and also a level of going down back to the yellow pack type service. And I'm very worried about income reduction generally across the economy, and it's not something that's peculiar to Ireland.
You heard the figure that I got from a man earlier this morning, €600 a month.
Yeah. And the problem with all that is if our workers aren't getting reasonable remuneration, then the economy itself will start to, you know, there won't be people to buy goods and services. And we're developing a system in a society across the West where there are growing numbers on very low incomes. And the gap is getting wider in terms of income equality. And there must be some balance in all of this. And I don't think a state enterprise should be leading the way on a journey to a low-cost model.
I'm getting more calls in to Fergal and Brenda asking me to push you a little harder on this. Is there a time limit on how on Fianna Fáil staying out of this. Could this threaten your support for the government if it continues?
Well, as I said, I said what I've said on that, TJ. I think our policy priority...
Well, you didn't say yes or no.
Because it's too early. I'm not getting into the business of trying to resolve this by that kind of threat. I've been...
Well, it might get Shane Ross out of his house.
I've been very constructive in terms of how government should be managed, generally speaking. It's a difficult position we are in. We tried to form government ourselves. We didn't get the support from other parties or independents.
We know that, but...
Well, that's important, though.
Ross or Enda Kenny...
Yeah, but I'm not into...
I know, but here's the thing. Enda Kenny is Shane Ross's boss. The Taoiseach is his boss. If you, as the leader of the opposition, were to be over there saying, you know what, there's only so long we'll put up with this, then it might get Shane Ross out of bed. So are you prepared to put that kind of pressure on, Michal?
Well, we put that pressure on in the last while, and we will continue to put the pressure on the government. The immediate priority is the resolution of the dispute. I mean, if you have a general election next week or the week after the dispute gets worse, it doesn't get resolved.
Okay.
And you're talking about severe losses of money, which doesn't resolve anything and makes the situation far worse and far more difficult to resolve.
All right, okay. Thanks for coming back to us, Micheál Martin, leader of Fianna Fáil. Thank you. 1850-715-996. I did try to push him on it. I did try.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail, Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM. Cork's 96 FM, the River Lee and the Evening Echo bring you the Cork City Sports Athletics Award. Every month, a panel of experts give recognition to an outstanding Cork athlete.
The overall winner for 2016 is Robert Heffernan from Toker AC. Rob received the award for taking sixth place in the 50k race walk of the Olympic Games. The race was a grueling challenge in the Brazilian heat.
The Cork City Sports Athletics Award with the River Lee, the Evening Echo and Cork's 96 FM.
Text the Opinion Line now. This is what you came for. 083-396-96-96. Cork's 96 FM.
Stephen is in Mallow. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, PJ. How are you?
Good. Originally from Hong Kong, living in Mallow now.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. I came to Ireland since 1977 and never said anything about any strike. Up to this moment, I had enough. I'm really angry today. Took me by surprise this morning when I dropped my son to the Mallow train station at 8:15, trying to catch the 8:30 bus. Train. But took me by surprise. No train services. What happened is I had to bring my son to UCC this morning.
Yes.
And I think, I just want to say quickly, Shane Ross should change his name to Shame Ross.
Shame Ross.
Yes, it's a shame. He should have done... He should have come up and do something about it weeks ago, okay? Now, that's all I want to say because I have to go.
I appreciate your call, Stephen.
Go to a meeting now, okay?
I know you're in a hurry. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you,
Stephen in Mallow, living there since the 70s, originally from Hong Kong. Thanks for calling the show, Stephen. Line 5 next, I think, guys, I'll go with Sheila. Sheila, hi.
Good morning, PJ.
Are you really suggesting the army?
Yes, PJ, because, I mean, if this continues, people have to get to work. Now, I know it's not suitable for elderly people or, you know, anyone with disabilities, but people have to go to work. I mean, there's a lot of people going to be ringing in sick and whatever. They can't afford to be paying for taxis.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen? You're not going to have enough taxis if everyone is looking for them.
Yeah. The thing is, if you start bringing in the army, you are strike breaking, you know?
Yeah, but as a child, I remember when the buses used to be on strike, we used to get into the army trucks, the little steps we got up and there were seats on both sides.
I remember that too. Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of, and we were very glad of it in the wet days and whatever. It has to happen if this continues. No, I mean, I agree with the men going on strike and everything else. They shouldn't be at loss of wages, but, you know, people can't be penalised either. They have to get to work. There's a lot of people out there don't have their own transport, PJ.
Okay. Thanks, Sheila. 1850-715-996. She says, get the army in. It did happen. I was a very young fella. I don't know what age I was, but I certainly wasn't. I was no more than a chiseler. I remember the army being brought in to cover a bus strike. I do. Not too sure if I want to see it again, though. Frida.
Morning, PJ.
Shane Ross, totally to blame.
Oh, I would, definitely. I mean, they should be calling for his resignation. He did nothing for the bus workers. I mean, he's insured with the company and everything. Like, it's a disgrace they had to come to this morning. I mean, the place is going to be a complete national standstill over him because public transport is very important for all, for the nation, for most of the nation. Cork and County, and this is looming, like, PJ. I mean, like, you know, I mean, I'm 100% behind the workers, you know, their support. But, like, that's our other caller there a while ago, it is too far, and he should be named as Shane Ross and Shane Ross.
Yeah.
But, like, he didn't even go to talks with them. He's after causing this because it is his job. Like, he shouldn't have that post. He shouldn't have that title, Minister for Transport. He did nothing. He did nothing for the... He's not after doing anything for them. And that's why he does have to come into this. I mean, it was his business. It was very important that he intervened there, and he got this sorted before it had to come to this, PJ. And the consequences now is that because he did nothing for them.
All right.
And they have no other choice, only to... And do you know what I'm saying? And it's going to affect all kinds of people, you know. I mean,
are you affected by it?
Oh, God. I don't want to be saying I have no transport, but I have no transport, PJ. I left to walk from Ballyballan this morning now. But, like, you know, thanks for the God, I have my health. I'll be able to walk. But, like, I'm only one person. Like, I mean, there's thousands, hundreds and thousands are going to be affected, Cork and County over it, like.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, I shouldn't have having come to it, like.
Can you remember when the army came in?
I was living with my family that time over in the south side in Greenmount. I remember that, them times. I was way younger at the time.
All right.
I remember them times, all right, PJ. But, like, you can't blame the workers, like. I mean, they didn't want to strike. They had plenty chances and what have you. Of not having to come to this, but, like, what they had no other option because Shane Ross didn't do anything for them,
right.
And he shouldn't have that post, he shouldn't have that title. I think, from my own opinion, they should be calling for his resignation for causing the strike now because he's to blame.
Right.
Well, see, it was his business, and it was important for him to do this for the whole general public, like, I mean, public transport. Everyone, you know, the whole.
That's his job. He's the transport minister. He's supposed to run the public transport system. Frieda, thanks a million. Shane Ross should be sacked or should resign, is what Frieda's saying. I can't say I disagree. He's an absolute... I don't normally come down hard on government ministers. I'm normally accused of being too soft on them. But Shane Ross is an absolute disgrace to his office. Because over the years, I can remember transport disputes. And I can remember bus and rail disputes getting edgy, getting tetchy, getting stressful. And the minister of the day might very reluctantly get involved. But at the end of the day, he or she got involved. Shane Ross? Nah. Disgrace to his office, as far as I'm concerned. 1850-715-996. I know now the Fine Gaelers will be ringing up, giving out. I'd say now maybe Senator Buttermer or someone of them is poised over the phone, ready to give me an earful. I don't care. He's a disgrace to his office. 1850-715-996. In Cove, they're in right trouble. The buses are on strike. And then in Cove, they say they're completely abandoned. Because Cove has no bus service. Of course it doesn't. Cove has no bus service. And then without warning this morning, no trains either. Well, the trains are back from about 11 o'clock, so that'll be okay. But since you in Cove, whoever you are, sent that text, that's no good to us now. And the taxis, it's 35 quid to Cork City from Cove on a taxi. So Cove is really the abandoned city or the abandoned town this morning. Sorry to keep you holding, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're a retired bus driver.
I'm a retired bus driver, and I give 100% support to my former colleagues who are on strike this morning.
Okay.
No, let me, first and foremost, I have no name for Shane Ross.
Mm-hmm.
I call him Houdini, because the man is after disappearing.
Yeah.
And as for ministerial involvement in a bus strike, no, I'm not a Fine Gael supporter. But I remember one occasion when it was a late, I think it was Jim Mitchell, got involved in a bus strike and solved it very, very fast.
You're correct, he did. Jim Mitchell served in transport.
No, I am not a Fine Gael supporter. I near my cutters to the mass. I'm a Sinn Féin supporter 100%.
Okay.
But there's none of those lads out on strike this morning. Number one, want to be on strike, and number two, can afford it. There's a lot of them young married men with mortgages and who'll be in financial trouble themselves. There's an intransigent management there, obviously, said, take it or leave it. On my way or the highway.
Yeah.
So I give my 100% support to those lads today.
Okay. Tom, thank you for the call and thank you for holding. 1850-715-996. Lyon's absolutely rammed on us today. So if you're sitting there for a while, be patient. We will get to you. Sean, good morning.
Oh, I listen to me now on the radio.
Hello, Sean. I'm we get Sean back there. I'll take a quick break. 1850-715-996. I think he's chatting.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail, Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM.
Call the Opinion Line.
This is what you came for.
1850-715-996. Cork's 96 FM.
By the way, in case you missed it, our text poll showed 76% in favour of what the bus drivers are doing today. And if you're still worried about the trains, they will be back around 11 o'clock. Sean, good morning.
Come on, Tom, too.
Tommy Gama.
Tommy Gama. Well, Tom, I'm Sir Gama. Laura Mish Aspel, a ragle in the Mishkine, will take us a spell in English, lest we would be misunderstood. And my point is this.
Could you get a bit closer to the phone, Sean, please? You're a little bit back from it, maybe.
Okay.
That's much better now.
Yeah, no, I'm a pensioner. I'm paying my taxes. I was trying to make up my what I'm paying in taxes and all sorts of costs, you know?
Yes.
And I believe I'm paying about 25% of my income in taxes at this stage.
Yes.
I have no problem in part of that income going towards a good, just like the current service is, a good transport system. I go into the bus orders. I sit down, have my cup of coffee. I have a sandwich if I want it. I can wash my hands and I can wait for my bus to come and I can go to Killarney and I'll disembark at a very good bus orders there too.
Yes.
On to Tralee the same way. On to Limerick the same way. On to Galway the same way. I want that to maintain.
Yes.
I'll just give you one example of an experience on a bus from Cork to Tipperary recently. The Dumnum bus. It was the 4 o'clock bus, and a young man around 25 came on, and he said, "I'm going to Donegal, sir." He said to the driver, and the driver said to him, "Do you know?" He said, "That the last bus leaving Dublin for Donegal will be gone when you arrive in Dublin. Is that okay?" "Oh, it's not." So they called an inspector, and they arranged that the young lad would stay in Cork overnight, and that the ticket would be changed for the following day.
Very
now,
good.
That's the kind of a service I want. And
very
I'm
good
quite
service.
Happy to pay out of my taxes towards that kind of a service.
Do you support what the bus drivers are doing today, Sean?
100%, yeah.
Okay.
Now, that is the position I'm... I don't want a Ryanair-type transport system.
Okay. All right. Sean, appreciate your call. Thank you very much. 1850-715-996. 100% in support of the drivers. Would that be the same with you, Josephine? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Do you support the drivers?
Absolutely, 110%.
Okay.
And being honest, Shane Ross doesn't care about Cork because Dublin would be well serviced with, you know, other operators. So he's not going to really care about our problems down here.
But as Mick Barry said to me this morning, you know, I don't know how the NBRU stand on this, but if it was to extend tomorrow to Dublin Bus, it'd be right on his doorstep and the Dart.
Yeah, absolutely, and you'd see something happening then because, as you know, it's Dublin is... We only all exist to service Dublin.
So you're thinking it'll take Dublin Bus getting involved for Shane Ross to wake up and do something?
Well, at this stage, I think he shouldn't even get involved now. I think he should be just sacked. Straight away, just sacked, called in out in front of Enda Kenny and replaced because he's a disgrace. Everybody knew this was coming,
yeah.
And he sat back and done nothing. And it is because they want to privatise the whole thing, take away all the free travel. That's the ultimate agenda here.
You did an awful job to do that.
Well, I'm that is, because Fine Gael are the blue shirts, and they don't believe in public services. They believe in privatising everything in the market, health service, our water, you name it. That's where it's heading.
All right, Josephine, thank you for that. 1850-715-996. Fine Gael have a complete agenda of privatisation, according to Josephine. Margaret called, says she's very annoyed about John's comments from Cove. John saying Cove accusing people on the free travel of being freeloaders. But she does see, she says, a lot of foreigners with a pass, and there's no need for them to have one. sometimes there's also a lot of people who do need a pass. It makes you very upset when people are bitching about pensioners having bus passes. John says on the WhatsApp, Shane Ross should hang his head in shame. Love the show. Thank you, John. Finbar says that pensioners got €5 rise this week, but the women only got €4.50. This is because of their reduced stamps due to marriage. I've heard about that one, actually. I've heard about that. 1850-715-996. Still manic traffic between Middleton and Carrigtwohill. Dave says there's got to be a crash. Can someone find out what's going on? Tom says, aside from all this, we've another scandal this morning with the Garda traffic convictions. How many crises like the bus strike and scandals like the Gardaí and the Grace case can one country have? I mean, we're far less than the population of London in size for all of what's going on. Caller Anne Ford says they should put €50 to €100. Oh, God, I can see this going down like a lead balloon, Anne. They should charge €50 to €100 for the bus pass. She was on the 220 yesterday. There was plenty of people who had passes. She saw a woman and she could see nothing wrong with her. There were loads of people on the bus and they'd nothing wrong with them. And they had bus passes. Or maybe they were leap cards, Anne. Wouldn't be jumping to those kind of conclusions. 1850-715-996. Margaret and Ed with you shortly.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail. Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM.
Text the Opinion Line now. This is what you came for. 083-396-96-96. Cork's 96 FM.
I'll go to Margaret and Ed in just a second. Tony is on the road approaching Carrigtwohill. Morning, Tony. What's up?
Is it about 1,000 years before you come to Carrigtwohill from the middle inside? There's a cardboard was burned out on the left hand side. And there's fire brigades there and gambling there. There's everybody there.
But is it burning at the moment?
No, it is completely out now. They're putting it up on top of it, they'll capture it on a lorry.
Okay.
And they're going to capture it. It should be okay now, 10 minutes later.
Oh, and that's what's causing all the delays,
that's
is it?
That's what's causing the delays, isn't
Good
it?
Man. Thanks for the call, Tom. Appreciate it. There's a car burnt out on the road near Carrigtwohill, between Carrigtwohill and Middleton. That's causing all those problems on that road. 1850-715-996. Now to Margaret, staying with the bus strike for as long as you want to. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning, PJ.
Where are you? You're in Bandon, I think, are you?
I'm in Bandon, yes, PJ. Excuse me. PJ, I'm visually impaired and I work in Ballincollig.
Right.
I started work last September in National Council for the Blind in Ballincollig.
Okay.
And there is no direct bus from Bandon to Ballincollig.
Mm-hmm.
So I get two buses going and two buses coming back.
Yeah.
So obviously, I know I'm not pension age and I have a travel pass.
Right. Because of your blindness, yeah.
Because of my blindness. But I would agree with that lady a while ago. I think you called her Anne Ford. I definitely think, and I would be 100% fully support, that there should be a levy for the people with the bus passes.
Do you think so?
I do, because I'm so grateful to have it.
I know, but do you not think someone who's gone to, say, pension age, and they've paid taxes all their lives, that's a little bit we can give them?
Well, oh, definitely. I think pensioners definitely shouldn't.
Mm.
But the likes of me, if when I have my travel pass, if I wasn't working, I'd make, you know, I'd manage way.
Yeah. Would you pay a fee?
I would.
Really?
Most certainly would.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, it needn't be €100 a year. Maybe 20 to 50, maybe.
Yeah.
It's, you know, well, especially for me, PJ, when I get four buses a day.
I was talking to Jim Daly, the Fine Gael TD from Cork Southwest, a few weeks ago now at this stage. He suggested maybe a tenner, and he was nearly hung, drawn, and quartered.
I probably will be now as well if I'm heard. When people will hear me saying this, I probably will be as well. But going back to that lady's point, when I get on a bus, if I didn't have Daisy with me, by the way, Daisy is my cane. If I didn't have Daisy with me, I would look normal.
What is it about people with a visual impairment? They all put a name on their cane.
I suppose they're like, you know, they're. Couldn't go out without them now.
I know, yeah.
And it took me a while to get used to using one because I didn't want to admit I have to use one.
I know.
But now she's like my right-hand woman now.
I know. Hold on there, Margaret. Ed, good morning.
Hi.
What Margaret has just suggested, it was what Jim Daly suggested a while back, and he was nearly lynched at dawn for it.
I know. But, I mean, look, I'm dependent on the buses the same way as Margaret is because I'm blind. I have the same disability. But the point is, what she was saying, she's working, so she doesn't mind paying. Look, does she pay tax? Because if she pays tax, this comes out of taxation. And the answer to it is, I mean, there's a disgracefully poor employment rate amongst the disabled in general and the blind in particular.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the, for instance, next Thursday, there's a demonstration in Dublin outside the Doyle asking the government to actually ratify the Convention on the Rights of Disabled People, which they signed 10 years ago and will not ratify.
Is that not done yet?
No, and they won't do it because if they did it, they'd have to do things like implement the 2005 Disability Act, which frequently government departments themselves don't. The court system isn't accessible, for instance. There's all sorts of things. I don't want to get into that.
I had completely forgotten that, actually, to be fair.
Yeah, it's remarkable. So anybody that wants to go 11 o'clock outside, and actually it's Margaret's employers that are organising, much to my shock and amazement, because the National Council do very good work, but they don't tend to get involved in protests. But you can tell how bad it is. They're actually organising. So... if anybody wants to go along and join up 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock outside the Doyle next Thursday and in Buswell's Hotel before that, particularly if they're press, if they want to go and talk to people. Mm. But anyway, the point is the bus dispute.
Yeah, do you support it, Ed?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I need the buses desperately. I am stuck without the buses. There's no way I'll ever drive, no way I ever could have. And it's the old, the young, and... the blind, basically, and those who've got not much cash, who can't afford cars. Cars, well, you know yourself, cars are very expensive things.
Yeah.
And with the insurance rip-off on top of everything else, they're extremely. And the thing about it is you know, we worry about how do we solve the car insurance. Well, we're always being told competition's the answer. What is the best competition to cars and therefore car insurance companies? It's the buses. If we don't have a good transport system, what choice do people have but to drive cars? And driving cars effectively is the worst possible thing, with one person, two persons in them, driving a route which you could fill a bus, you know, and if you fill the bus, you'd probably have maybe 15, 20 of those cars off the road. And if you took 15 or 20 of those cars off the road going to work and 15 or 20 coming back...
But down in your part of the world, people have no choice, really.
Yeah, and the effect you'd have on pollution, for a start, and on our carbon output would be massive. I mean, public transport is about 20% of our carbon output, roughly speaking, in this country. If we could half that, it would be a massive contribution. We need more buses, trains and trams, not less. Mm. And this kind of attitude of cheese pairing that says, oh, we must spend less, we must spend less, we must spend less. What it leads to is you pay less, you get less.
I guess what they're doing is, and I'm not defending it, because I know from what a bit of reading you do in the background in between talk shows here, you know, there is no country in the world where public transport makes money. It's just not the way it works.
No, but the point.
But it has to pay for itself, though, doesn't it? Surely.
Well, you see, it does pay for itself. It depends on your accountancy. I mean, I have a very good friend who I haven't seen for a while, but he's an accountant. And if you ask him what he does for a living, he tells you he sits behind the desk and tells lies. And the reason he does that is not because he's intrinsically a liar. He would probably be in the Doyle if he was. But the fact of the matter is that it depends how you present figures, what they can come up with. And if you don't account for things like the number of cars taken off the road, the amount of carbon saved, the amount of cost saved in wear and tear on the roads, and the big one, which most people don't seem to think about, which is one of the things that worries me about what they're trying to do to drivers now, is the accident rate. I mean, yes, you do see the odd bus broken down, or you see the odd bus have a crash, but it's very, very rare compared to cars. And when they do, more often than not, the passengers are not killed, or the driver, because it's a big vehicle, okay? So if something goes seriously wrong, they get it wrong, the bus comes off the road, the bus gets in a ditch or something, chances are there's no serious injuries. Mm. And the savings in the health service are never accounted for. And what worries me is it's all well and good saying, well, we'll cut their wages, we'll cut their conditions, and you know, this is the way we need to put less taxation into it. And what we're going to do with the taxation anyway, we're going to give it to Apple.
Mm. I know. You're broadening this out now in a very wide way. But in terms of the actual thing in front of us this morning, Ed, where we have no buses on the roads, and for a couple of hours this morning we had no trains, we need a solution this weekend.
Yeah, well, I mean, the solution is very straightforward and very simple. As you say, Shane Ross should come out of his borough and basically he should decide that, you know, he's going to have to change his attitude. That it's no good saying, I'm the minister, it's nothing to do with me. It's no good saying, this is a company like any other private company, it's going bust, let it go bust. He's got to come out and say, no, actually, I'm a responsible politician. This is public transport. This provides... And it's another serious consideration. This provides a subsidy to every employer that gets his workers to work on a bus, because otherwise he would have to provide car parking space, or he'd have to provide a bus to go and pick them up. If he wants his workers, they have to get there.
All right. Ed, I'm going to leave you go and get one last word in from Margaret before we go to 11 o'clock. Shane Ross, Margaret, what's he got to do now?
What's
he got to do?
He has to intervene. He just has to. He's the minister. He won't get too many votes next time round.
All right. He was the first TD elected to the Dáil this time. He mightn't be so handy the next time. Margaret, thank you. And Ed, 1850-715-996. I have another clue for you in our marketing ball giveaway. Two tickets. It's the futuristic marketing ball. Another piece of futuristic television theme music. This is the most difficult one. If you get this one, you're good. You need to have your first one written down. Here's the second one. What's that? What's that the theme from? Futuristic television series. Write it down and keep it safe.
Listening to a repeat of the 96FM Opinion Line. Phone and text lines are now closed. The Opinion Line with PJ Coogan. 1850-715-996.
I'll have a third and final piece of futuristic telly music before the end of the show. Then I want you to ring in with all three that I've been giving you. All three. So you can't ring now. You need the third answer. And caller 9 will get to go to the marketing ball on April the 1st at the Clayton Silver Springs Hotel. Fabulous night assured. Two tickets to give away before the end of the show today. 1850-715-996. We can come back to the bus strike if you want to. But something else that's in the news this morning, I noticed it on the paper, and there's a couple of texts have come in about it, and Michael Moriarty has contacted us. Michael, good morning.
PJ, good morning. Thank you for taking up this issue.
Well, I'd seen it in the paper this morning.
I'm beginning to sound like another of your regular callers with a little hobby horse, but however, that's another matter.
Always great to hear from you.
My hobby horse has been fundamentalism, and for many, many years.
Yeah.
Particularly since I retired and came back here, I have been drawing attention to developments in various countries throughout the world, which I felt sooner or later would move westwards. And unfortunately, I have been... born out to be correct in that, but this hasn't yet reached our shores, very fortunately. Mm. I still hope it will not, but in view of developments in various other countries, you know, it's very difficult, and I commend our security services for their actions that they have continued with so far to protect the Irish people from these individuals who wish to invoke harm on the people in the name of a religion.
To bring people up to speed, the story you contacted us about was to do with someone who's due out of prison today.
That's correct, yes.
He's an Islamic terrorist, and he could be walking the streets of Dublin tomorrow because...
He's already a convicted terrorist, that is correct. And the minister has made several attempts in the past to send him back to his home country. But he has used our legal system, and it's another example of how our legal system and our democracy can be used by certain individuals to avoid facing facts, and in this case, avoid facing deportation. It is alleged that this particular person produced or furnished false information at one stage to secure asylum here. So, you know, you would assume that once they are convinced he has already provided false information, why should any further action be required except to put him on a plane and send him back wherever he came from? And, you know, as you just said, it looks like that this man could be on the streets of Dublin or wherever, released from prison and walking our streets. And considering his already proven actions in relation to terrorism, I would consider this is a very serious matter. And I must say I'm quite surprised the lack of concern shown by the Irish people in relation to such matters.
According to the Irish Independent, Shane Phelan writing today, he's 53. His country of origin cannot be published for legal reasons, whatever that could possibly be. He previously served time in France for plotting to commit terror offences. He's due to be released having served 6 months for possessing a false Belgian identity document while attempting to board a flight from Dublin to Athens. And his senior counsel is trying to keep him here.
Absolutely. It just defies logic. It just goes to show, it goes to show how our democracy and our system can be abused by such individuals. And let us again emphasise that these are just certain individuals, and whatever religion this particular man represents, he is not representative of all those other many decent, honourable people.
What it also does, Michael, and we talked at length about it the last couple of days, particularly in the wake of that atrocity in London, which should be stressed again, was carried out by an Englishman.
By a homegrown terrorist.
Born in Kent.
Absolutely.
Englishman. Now, he had spent a number of years, we believe, in Saudi Arabia, but that doesn't matter. He's an Englishman who carried out that atrocity in London the other day. But for what this does, a case like this, where this guy who should be on the first plane out.
Well, one would assume so.
You would assume so. Gives a bad name to every poor misfortune coming here for genuine reasons.
Absolutely. And also it encourages other individuals of his type of mentality to head for Ireland, because this is a place where they may feel they can be protected by our legal system. But you are also correct. You know, we have many refugees coming into this country now. And Ireland is a country which, in general, I think, is a very welcoming country. And I think it's very appropriate that these people coming in here, considering what they have suffered, need to feel welcome in our country. But individuals like this are then raising concerns among our people and some reluctance. And I must say, while I don't normally commend our ministers for various actions, but I must say, on the matter, it seems that they are following a reasonably correct and practical approach when bringing the refugees here. They are vetting them through international organisations, and for that I think they must be commended. But again, back to those people, I think we have a duty and a responsibility to make them feel welcome when they come here. But then it is quite disturbing to see a convicted terrorist is allowed walk in our streets. And there is something wrong in our system when that can happen. Like you just said, it would a practical approach would be to take this man straight from the prison and put him on a plane, send him back to his home country.
And it gives a bad name to everyone trying to make their life here.
Absolutely.
Every single person.
And it also, it is, as I said, it is unfair to the big number of members of that particular religion who are in this country and who are living their normal lives. And
decent, honest, caring, genuinely nice people.
And also, as you rightly said, also, you know, causing concern for incoming refugees, because people would be a little bit apprehensive, perhaps. But that should not affect those incoming refugees, because we have individuals like him. But the Irish people, once again, we are very caring, PJ. And we are very considerate. And I don't want to go beating a drum now, but the case of Ibrahim Halawa shows how caring and considerate the Irish people are.
Yes.
And I certainly disagree with the position taken in our... But I'm not going down that road with you now.
No, it's a very controversial case. But you can't help but feel sorry for the lad, 5 years waiting to at least get a trial, though.
You know, again, PJ, I would like to go through this with you some other day on another occasion, because I personally, having lived in Cairo and having seen what happens on the streets of Cairo during demonstrations, having experienced bombs in various places, And, you know, in fairness, you
have contributed to that before. Something is coming in because of the fact that you have, and we've talked about it many times, you know, you've had the privilege that many of us never have and probably never will have to live in so many different places under so many different regimes. What do you think, with the point was being made during the week, that we may be laying ourselves open to possible attack because of the continuing landing of the military aircraft in Shannon? What do you think about that?
Well, these are views and opinions, you know, and we can all have our own explicit view. But, you know, I think deep down, you know, these people with this particular fundamentalist type thinking, I doubt, my own opinion, I doubt very much if the landing of aircraft would be relevant to their particular line of thought when they decide they want to do something in what they believe to be in the name of their God, and that would be to inflict death or suffering on some individuals. And, you know, it is a topic, and I know it's a hot topic with many people, but, you know, with these fundamentalists, I don't believe they would look at that particular item.
Now, right.
You know, maybe others will seriously disagree, but, you know, Peter, having, as you just said, having lived and experienced car bombs, attacks. We were in Egypt when President Sadat was, we were in Cairo when President Sadat was assassinated. Jim Tunney, an Irish minister, was on the reviewing stand that day. He was injured. You know, so we have a different outlook. And I will just mention an incident. My wife is listening now, and from time to time she has made reference to this. While we were in Damascus at one stage, my wife went to switch on the heating in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And just as she threw the switch, there was an unmerciful noise. The building shook. There was a car bomb had exploded just a few hundred metres from our house.
Wow.
And she still shudders when she thinks of that. Now, none of us or our friends were injured in that. But again, you know, living in these type of situations, it gives you a different outlook. And how do you protect yourself? Like this incident on the Westminster Bridge, very, very difficult to protect yourself from an individual who decides he wants to inflict, you know, death or injury on unsuspecting individuals.
Yes,
very, very difficult. But, you know, our security services must be commended for what they are doing and what they continue to do. And that doesn't mean, you know, and personally, I must say, PJ, I have made a point of late to specifically greet, if I meet members of the Muslim community on the outside in supermarkets, I will greet them.
Yes.
Because I think it's appropriate to let them see that they are welcome in our country.
That's a good point, you Michael. Know? Thanks as always.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity of expressing that, PJ.
Good to talk to you. Thank you, Michael. Michael Moriarty, 1850-715-996. Yeah, this guy whose name we don't have for legal reasons, or where he comes from for legal reasons, he's 53. He's convicted of terrorist activity in France. He was caught in Dublin Airport trying to board a plane to Greece on fake Belgian papers. And now he's in jail. And there's effectively, they're fighting to keep him here. I mean, come on, like. 1850-715-996. We've been talking during the week about the American warship, the USS Donald Cook, which has been in Cove. Interesting to see in the paper and online yesterday, I saw there's now a crewman, apparently, from the USS Donald Cook in serious trouble in Dublin. Accused, I think, of sexual assault or rape. But that has little or nothing to do with the reasons why, say, Ted Tynan and others are opposed to the visit. I'm going to return to that next. 1850-715-996. Also, Daffodil Day is on today. And, of course, Ken will be doing his show live from Easton. What a gorgeous day. You lucky duck, Ken Tobin. What a gorgeous day to be doing an outside broadcast from anywhere, let alone such a lovely place as our own beautiful Patrick Street, where the sun is shining now. It's quiet down there. There's no buses, like. It's quiet down there, but he's down there from 12 till 4. Come in, say hello, get your photo taken. He loves to stand for photos. It's on today, Daffodil Day. It's their biggest fundraiser. at the Irish Cancer Society. They've raised over 66 million people through Daffodil Day for people affected by cancer since the first one back in 1988. Yeah, 29 years ago, 1988, they did their first one. And Daffodil Day is a vital fundraiser now for the Irish Cancer Society. The plan this year is to raise 3.9 million euro for the Irish Cancer Society. And as part of that, our Kenny T will be down in Easons between 12 and 4. Easons on Patrick Street doing his show live. If you ever wonder what he looks like, now's your chance. 1850 715 996. Right, Ted Tynan with you next.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail, Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM.
The Opinion Line. This is what you came for. 1850-715-996. Cork's 96 FM.
Just before I go to Ted Tynan, Eddie was listening to me talking about the guy in Dublin, the Islamic convicted terrorist, who could well be walking the streets of Dublin tomorrow because there's an effort to keep him here. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning, PJ. Listening to that news item, I just find it absurd that there should be an attempt to keep a terrorist in this country.
He's challenging an order. There is an order out there to expel him from the country. He should be deported immediately, but there's a stay put on his deportation because he's gone to the High Court challenging an order that expels him from the country. The court already rejected his appeal of a deportation order, but now he's looking to try again.
Another question I have, PJ, is who's funding the application to the High Court?
Oh, I'd give you one guess.
Could by any chance be the taxpayers of Ireland?
Good.
Because
you win a cookie, Eddie. You win the cookie. And we're paying for it.
Well, that's absolutely absurd. I think that the people of Ireland... most right-thinking people will object to this situation strongly, and I think they should.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks, Eddie. 1850-715-996. Yep, this guy's going into the High Court to protest or to try and stop being turfed out of Ireland. And guess what, lads? We're paying for it. 1850-715-996. Now, Ted Tynan. Good morning to you.
Morning, PJ.
The subject of the warship, the Donald Cook, we've been talking about this on and off throughout the week.
Yeah. Well, I am opposed to the visit of these warships to our ports, PJ. Mm. They're called courtesy visits, but the thing is that this ship is part of the massive war machine that is raging war in several countries in the Middle East, and seeing that it's very topical at the moment, after the appalling events in London. And this particular boat was one of the first ships to fire the Tomahawk missiles into Iraq in the 2003, when the war broke out in 2003. And you know what? You'd wonder afterwards, what were the casualties? You hear a lot of talk about collateral damage. And I've read numerous reports of these drone strikes where you see on your television screen a puff of dark smoke on the ground. Mm. You read then a few days later, not through the main media, probably at the best of times, but you would read of the impact of those explosions on the ground, and you'd see men, women, children slaughtered, you know?
Yeah.
And these vessels are part and parcel of that war machine, and I don't think we should be showing any courtesy to the war machine. The individuals who are American citizens in most cases, then they're more than welcome to come to and visit our country, mm-hmm. but not as part and parcel of that war machine. And I also feel that Shannon Airport, it is very much relevant because it's facilitating the same war machine, and the American military flights, the reloading and all that should not be allowed to land at Shannon, just as these war machines should not be allowed to visit our country on the pretext of a courtesy.
Are you concerned more about the danger they pose to us or the mere fact that they're visiting?
No, not to us. I would have a very strong moral point of view on this. They're part of a massive war machine throughout the globe. They're starting wars all over the place. Look at Libya, look at Syria at the moment, mm-hmm. Iraq before it. The whole Middle East region is now in chaos as a result of interference by the Western powers, particularly America, the UK, French, some of the Dutch, and the German too, as well. Why they do that is beyond me, because peace is the thing that we should be fighting for. We should be fighting to end wars, discontinue the supply of massive weapons into the Middle East. And by the way, that is a very lucrative business.
It is.
A huge commercial business.
A point was raised yesterday, though, Ted, you know, a point that was raised by a caller yesterday, the protest that we now have against vessels like the Donald Cook, we once had, any time you had a British vessel coming in, you know, calling about the British war machine, yet we were happy enough to take British help when our Coast Guard needed assistance or our Navy needed backup. At the end of the day, protesting against the Donald Cook achieves nothing.
There's a huge difference there, PJ. One is a very aggressive, offensive war machine. The other is for peaceful purposes, where they come to the rescue of to help our Coast Guard and all that. I have absolutely no problem with the RAF.
Yes, but the British Navy was involved in wars around the world too.
They were, yeah, and on that score, I would totally oppose them. But and if they were coming on peaceful missions, and to visit our country and to allow us to even, like, children love going on board these navies.
But the Donald Cook's here on a courtesy call, Ted. It's not here as part of a mission.
I don't think it should be shown any courtesy, PJ, because of its history.
But that's hypocrisy. If the British can come on a peaceful mission, even if they're involved in a war at the time.
Isn't there
a hypocrisy there, Ted? Because the British are okay while they're involved in a war to come to us on a courtesy mission. But the Americans aren't.
Are okay too if they come in a peaceful manner to assist us in a disaster off our coast or something.
Of course, but
that's not hypocrisy, PJ.
No, but it is. You know? The point I'm trying to make, it is hypocritical to say.
I disagree with you. I
can't understand why, because if you pause a second, I'll make the point. The British can be involved in a war, and yet we've no problem with one of their vessels coming into Cove on a courtesy call. The Americans are involved in a war, yet you have a problem with their vessel coming in to to Cove. Where's the difference?
I know I have a problem with their machinery being used to rage war in other countries, but if they come on for peaceful purposes, they're more than welcome.
All right.
And we likewise would go and assist American ships in trouble, we have a navy as well, and they will go to the assistance of other countries' vessels, fishing vessels or whatever, but it's in a peaceful manner. I think there is a kind of a difference in OPJ.
Right. Okay, you might think that I'm just comparing one with the other. You wanted to comment on the bus strike.
Oh, yeah. By the way, PJ, I have two very interesting stories, short, and I'll be as brief as possible. First of all, I spoke to a driver who's working for Air Coach, and he's working on average 65 hours a week for €450. Mm-hmm. Think of that now, PJ, a miserable wage. On two occasions then, he applied for a mortgage from lenders and he was shut down because of his inadequate income.
Okay.
65 hours a week for €450.
Mm-hmm.
I was then told from a very reliable source, a friend of mine, who was travelling on an Air Coach bus before last Christmas, going to Dublin Airport, left Papas Quay at 6 a.m. on a Monday morning. Most of the people on the bus, as it would, it was a dark winter's morning, they were nodding off, falling asleep. But she noticed after an hour or so on the road that the bus was veering to the wrong side of the road. And she noticed once, maybe twice, and on the third occasion, she went up to the driver and he was actually falling asleep.
Okay.
She then went back to her seat, got some water, went up and engaged him in conversation, gave him a drink of water and spoke to him until they got to Dublin, and she was relieved when the bus eventually arrived at Dublin Airport, well, particularly to the outskirts of Dublin.
Why is that relevant to the bus strike today, Ted?
And, well, I tell you where the connection is. The driver who's on the 65 hours a week, he says that is a common occurrence, drivers falling asleep on these buses. They're working long hours, PJ. And what I would remind and what I would appeal now to the drivers of private buses, just to take a leaf out of the book of bus errand workers, go and join a union, and show solidarity with the striking bus there and workers, because they too need to be in a union. They too need to get proper wages and working conditions.
What would you say about the old people who can't get to the doctor, or the people who can't get to work, or someone stuck down in Bandon who can't get to town to go to work this morning?
Yeah, I put the blame at the door of this government and indeed Fianna Fáil, who are supporting them. Because if Fianna Fáil were in power today, PJ, they would be doing exactly the same thing. Because
you might put the blame at their debt. And you know what? Shane Ross, as I called him out myself this morning, Shane Ross is an absolute disgrace.
But at the same time,
Ted, something needs to be done. And the person down in Bandon, no matter who's in charge, still has no bus.
Yeah. Look, PJ, I've been on the picket line and we've handed out about 6,000 leaflets in Cork City over the last few weeks in support of the bus workers. And we've met people from rural areas in West Cork and North Cork, and they're absolutely terrified at the loss of their bus service, as they won't be able to travel, they won't be able to come into the city, they won't be able to come into a major town nearby, like Fermoy, Mallow, Bandon, Clannachilty and that, you know. And it is to support those people, because what is happening, PJ, this government are signed up to a privatisation agenda, which is to smash down Bus Éireann as a public bus company, and to hand the whole thing lock, stock and barrel over to private companies. And as you know, PJ, they're doing the same thing with social housing, they're doing the same thing with health, and that is the agenda. It's privatisation, and we'll rule the day that will happen. And those people who are now inconvenienced, pensioners, people in rural areas, they should now show their solidarity with the bus and workers, and apply pressure on the politicians, on the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael politicians, and indeed the Labour Party guys, the few of them that are there, to get involved and stop the privatisation of bus and support the bus workers, give them the subvention that they require. Because as you know, PJ, Bus Éireann, I see it was known then, was formed, I think, in 1948.
I remember you opposed it being broken up into three.
Yeah, we totally opposed it, because we knew at that time, and this is a long time ago now, 20-odd years ago, we knew then what was happening. That was the thin end of the wedge to drive in, separate the companies. You have Éin Road Éireann, Bus Éireann and Dublin Bus. The whole idea is to fragment it, break it up, and that is the agenda. And this government, along with Fianna Fáil, along with the Labour Party, are 100% totally driven by this agenda of privatisation.
Okay. Can I come back to what you were saying about the Air Court, Ted, for a minute? Because Michael called to say that all the drivers you're talking about in Air Coach are covered by tachograph rules. They cannot drive 65 hours a week. 60 is the absolute max, and after 3 weeks, it'll be cut on them.
The information I got from a driver was, PJ, that is not the case.
Well, the tachograph is the tachograph. It's there, like.
The tachograph, it can be interfered with, as you damn well know.
Well, you're making... Don't make allegations you can't stand over, Ted. Don't.
Well, I've been told very reliably from more than one...
Oh, I know, but you know who gets in trouble if you say something and you're wrong. Not you, me. So be very sure before you say something.
I'm not naming anyone anyway.
No, but you've named a company, Ted.
Well, they're saying that the tachograph is operating. I am saying I've got information that it's not operating in all situations.
I'm just making absolutely sure that you don't land me inside in the courts here.
All right. No. Well, my name is Ted Time, a city councillor. They know where to contact me if they want to talk to me about that issue.
All right. It isn't you, they'll sue. It's me. But anyway, thanks a bunch. 1850-715-996, Councillor Ted Tynan. John in Cove says, when US warships, this is the point I was making. Ted was saying it's okay for the British to come, even if they're involved in a war. It's okay for them to visit. But America, not okay. John in Cove says, when US warships come to Cove, their armaments are fully manned and primed. Their men are on deck in position. The UK and no other country does this. John says they're uniquely warlike and aggressive, even on a courtesy call. I'm very sure, John, someone will dispute that, but I have to accept it as your point of view. 1850-715-996.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail, Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM.
Text the Opinion Line now. This is what you came for. 083-396-96-96. Cork's 96 FM.
Eugene points out on Twitter the whole tachograph thing, and of course he's right. I was just being ultra careful, I guess, with Ted Tynan. The driving time is what the tachograph measures. You could be sitting in the bus waiting for a turnaround or in between trips for an hour or two with no tachograph rolling, and then that still counts as hours of work, but the tachograph doesn't catch that. 1850 715 996. Lots to do before we pack up for the weekend. Tony, good morning.
Hello, Peter.
Tony, it came up during the week, the question of whether we were in any kind of a danger of terrorist-type attacks in this country, because it came so close to home with London, even though we now know that the man who did that was British. Do you think we are in danger here, Tony?
I think we are. Like, I disagree with what happened in London. Like, I don't agree with any terrorism. At the present moment, you have aircraft going through Shannon there, on the air. She's coming through twice a week. She's probably carrying about 300 US troops. Heading down, it's a private airline, contracted to the US military, flying people down to United Arab Emirates. Now, Donald Trump is sending troops down there, a build-up of troops. I think it could possibly do hit Iran or something like that. They're operating there as a base. There's also C-130s possibly carrying ammunition. They're the Galaxy Air cargo planes. No, the danger there is, you know, this is, we have asked several times, people have called to the Garda station in Shannon, asked them to search the planes, and under international law, the Gardaí are obliged. There is some statute there that you don't carry, you tell the local authority, air authorities, that you're carrying munitions, and you have to ask permission.
Would I be or wrong in saying, Tony, that if we have a presidential visit, as we have had in the past, and Air Force One lands in Shannon, sure, Air Force One is armed to the teeth.
It is armed to the teeth, but I mean, what I'm talking is...
The President's own plane is armed to the teeth. Should we stop those too?
What I'm saying is, you have US troops travelling through with their sidearms on them, with their sidearms, and I'm talking about the cargo planes bringing munitions. I'd say there's about, as far as I know, there's 300 troops on this airline. It's called Omni Airline, subcontracted. No, those C-130s are carrying them. And O'Gardy will not, are refusing to search those planes.
Tony, tell me. Okay, I get that. I know I've spoken to many people who have gone, including TDs like Mick Wallace and Claire Daly, who've gone and asked the guards to search the planes. Can I ask a simple question? What would be achieved?
Well, it's all right. No, I would say the same. And don't say.
Why would we be wasting the guards' time going on planes when there are crimes taking place elsewhere in County Clare that should be investigated? Why would you be wasting the time of the guards going up the steps of a plane?
Yeah, well, it's their job. And you also have...
It's their job, Tony, but it's a total waste of time. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Why would you waste the time of the guards going on searching planes when somewhere out the road there's an old woman been beaten up for her pension, Tony?
Look, these guys are carrying dangerous munitions.
You're not answering my question.
They're going to kill people.
They're not coming here to kill anybody, Tony.
They're killing people down in the Middle East and other places.
So you're okay with the guards taking time out to search a plane that is of no threat to us, but the woman down the road having her house robbed and been bashed over the head by some thug out on bail?
Look, what about the warship that's carrying these Tommy Hawk weapons? These aircraft are doing the exact same thing.
All right.
They're killing, they are going down, starting wars, killing people in other countries. And it, under national law, they're not allowed to carry munitions across our airspace.
Well, the thing about them being armed, completely armed and primed in Cove, I've no way of knowing whether that is true or not, only to believe those who are saying it to me. Stay there, Tony, for one second more. Tony, good morning.
Oh, yeah, TJ.
How are you?
No, listen to about that ship below in the Cove, you know?
Yeah.
That's a nuclear port ship, you know, and it has nuclear port warheads.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Boy, that coming in here, you're making this country very dangerous. Because we are under a treaty that we have nothing to do with wars or anything, our ships coming in with petrol. That lady now spoke about Shannon. And you said...
That's Tony. That's a man, by the way.
Oh, Tony, yeah. She's dead, right? Much is saying,
you know? It's a bloke, Tony.
Is it?
It's a bloke, yeah. It's Tony. PJ. Tony, is it? Yes?
PJ, by the way.
Yeah?
We're having a demonstration down there between 5 and 7 down... And down outside that ship.
Okay.
Between 5 and 7 this evening.
In saying that, I would like to say the other, that's terrible what's happening in Shannon. You know, because there's extremist prisoners coming through there. There'd be planes there with 200 and 300 troops on them, guarding them. And we are known for that, like all over the world, especially the Middle East and everything. This is not a safe country with all this going on. I mean, here's you have a ship there, and they're now in to say, it can fire nuclear warheads if it wants to.
Yeah, but it's not going to fire them into Rochestown. Come on.
Yeah, hang on. Oh, PJ, hang on. They can just go outside the Irish waters and fire them at someone else. And before I go there, I'll tell you something. I'll bring Russia into this now as well. And do you know why?
Right.
Out in Syria, do you know why no one is saying anything to the Russians from bombing all the places out there? They're after a port out there for their shipping lanes to go. That's what's wrong. That's happening in Syria at the moment, PJ.
Okay. All right, listen, Tony and Tony, thank you. 1850-715-996, thank you both. I just have this thing about going to the guards and saying, and look, I don't know, am I wrong here? Someone will tell me I am. I know they will. You go into the guard, and the guard, you say to the guard, there's a plane there up in the airport, and I know they've guns. They're on their way down to Syria. I know they've guns. I want you to go and search the plane. Guard, would you do that? I need you to search the plane. So the guard's going to go search the plane. 2 miles down the road, some poor elf collecting his pension gets whacked over the head by a mugger. Because the guard is not down there because he's above searching plane. 1850-715-996. Back to tachographs. Another caller says once you get into the cabin or into the bus or onto the truck, the taco is recording. If you drive half an hour and stop and take a break, you're still classed as working those hours. Again, I'm no expert on taco. It might be a good idea to talk to them about taco. And not today, God almighty, no. 1850-715-996. Like I said, lots to do, not a lot of time to do it in. We have to give away our tickets for the marketing ball. I've only given you 2 pieces of music, and here is the third. I want you to tell me, what television show does this come from? What futuristic television show does this come from? For 2 tickets for the futuristic marketing ball at the Clayton Silver Springs on April the 1st. I've given you 2. Will I repeat them? Will I? I will. They were hard enough. Here was the first one. All right, second one. Now, that was the hardest one as far as I'm concerned. This is the third one. Caller 9 with the 3 answers. Three answers, please. Caller 9, 1850-715-996.
Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail, Cork's best value family newspaper.
Cork's 96 FM.
Hi, it's Emmett. Just a reminder about the 96FM Cork Diary. It's a free service, so if you're a community group, a non-profit organisation, or indeed if you're involved in a fundraising event, let us know and we'll tell Cork all about it. You can email us, corkdiary@96fm.ie.
The Cork Diary.
Cork's 96FM.
call the opinion line. This is what you came for. 1850-715-996. Cork's 96 FM.
Something unusual to do this weekend? Why not go and take a look at a load of fancy cakes? Ali, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you doing? This isn't just cakes. I've been to see one of these exhibitions. This stuff takes your breath away. Sugarcraft, the Radisson Blue Hotel for the weekend. Tell me about it.
You betcha. Well, if you can imagine, like all over the country today, there are people making their way to the Radisson Blue on Little Island to bring their exhibits and their competition pieces.
Driving very slowly and very carefully.
And hoping that the trains are going to be running through tomorrow. But it's great. Honestly, we have like nearly 30 wedding cake exhibits. We have sculptural pieces. We have kids exhibits. It's unbelievable the cross-section that there's going to be. And there's trade stands for people to buy all the goodies. So it's kind of dangerous on the old wallet, but it's wonderful. And we have fabulous Trish O'Flaherty's doing kids' workshops. And there's no charge on that. So the kids can come into the workshop and learn wonderful little skills and take things away with them. And like the entry fee is really good. It's only a fiver to get
into. That's like the stuff that you see in these fancy television shows where they're building.
Kate Boss, how are you? Absolutely.
They're building the Statue of Liberty completely made out of icing and sugar.
Yeah, we have a category, the sculptural category, where they can make whatever they like to celebrate an occasion, and it can be whatever they like. So the sky's the limit. Like last year, we had like a 5-foot-tall bunny, which was unreal. And, you know, you don't know what people's imaginations are going to bring them.
It's a mortal sin to eat that.
Yeah, but I'm sure people will try. And we have some fantastic demonstrators coming over. We have a world famous guy called Carlos Lachetti who's coming over, and he does modelling. We've got a woman doing modelling chocolate killer, so you definitely will be eating that one. And again, a winner of the Cake International exhibition in Birmingham, a girl called Anjali Tamde, she's coming over as well. So we really have some like incredible showpieces and showcases coming out at the show this time. Really excited about it.
And as you said,
Horizon Sugars.
Only a fiver.
Only a fiver to get in. And it's open on Saturday and Sunday from 11 o'clock. 11 to 6 on Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday. And it's just, you know, give yourself plenty of time to come and enjoy it. There's a lot of exhibits to see, a lot of demonstrators, and you don't have to pay for all of the demos. Most of the trade stands have demonstrations on them, but if you want to, you can pay to see a demo, and there's a really good selection of demonstrations too. Something for everybody.
Do you give out cable ties at the door? So they can tie my hands behind my back.
Well, we have little chopped off fingers on the tables with blood oozing out of the end of them that say fingers that touch will be chopped and turned at the door.
I love it. Ali, listen, have great fun for the weekend, all right?
We're looking forward to it. Thanks.
Cheers.
A million.
Not at all. Bye-bye. 1850-715-996. Now have a quick listen to this before we do our competition. This is tonight. This is happening tonight at the Everyman. I'm giving it a mention for a very special reason.
I don't know what to be getting you for your wedding anniversary all the same. Is there anything in particular you'd like?
A divorce. The last thing I'll be doing round here today is celebrating, believe me.
For heaven's sake, Maggie, will yourself and Matty not try and make things up?
Even my own mother knew I was making a mistake. She warned me not to marry him.
Why not?
She said she didn't like the unusual growth he had on his neck.
On his neck? What was that?
His head.
Yeah, so a couple of lines from a play that is on just tonight and tomorrow night at the Everyman. It's called No One's Talking to Me, Nobody's Talking to Me. It's the follow-up to The Real McCoy. The Real McCoy started out as an amateur production, a tiny amateur production, up at County Mayo, written by Tommy Maron, another radio man, and that's why I'm giving him a mention. Tommy Maron's a great radio man from the west of Ireland, and he writes plays as a hobby. And he literally had to practically pack up the radio to tour with The Real McCoy. I've seen The Real McCoy a couple of times. It is hilarious. This is open tonight at the Everyman and tomorrow night. It's called Nobody's Talking to Me. Tickets on sale at the door. And best of luck to everybody involved in that. Now, where are we going next? Am I going to John? Is in Meelik Park. Is it in Ballyvallan? Hey, John.
Hey, PJ. How are things?
Good. Now, I'm not going to just give you this without working for it. All right?
Sorry.
Okay, so okay. Tell me. What's that?
Star Trek.
That was an easy one. This is the killer. I thought this was the hard one. Name that tune.
That is Blake 7.
Blake 7 is right. It was so plastic and so tacky, but it was absolutely brilliant. And the third one.
The X-Files.
Unmistakably, the X-Files. You are heading off with whoever you choose to take with you to the marketing ball, futuristic marketing ball. Get yourself a tux. And tell whoever's coming with you to get dolled up as well. And we'll see you there on the 1st of April. All right, well done.
Cheers, Peter. Have a good weekend.
Cheers. Thank John. You too. Take care. Bye-bye. 1850-715-996. Peter Horgan has issued a press release on behalf of the Labour Party. Peter is the local area rep of the Labour Party. He's urging the Cork public to support the bus drivers in their industrial dispute. While it's frustrating for commuters around Cork, he knows it's even more frustrating for the drivers to have to take this action, according to Peter Horgan. This strike is the result of a do-nothing Minister for Transport who's only concerned that his local bus runs rather than a comprehensive transport plan for the country. It's an attack on the wages and working conditions of bus drivers, not just in Cork, but around the state. And he's calling on the government to intervene this very weekend, and in fact for Shane Ross to intervene this very weekend. Our Ciara was also down this morning talking to some commuters on the road, and here's some more.
It's awkward for everyone living in and around the city, so for getting to work from school and everything. To be like, one of my bosses is collects me to bring me to work. So I know some of the bus drivers, like, so they're obviously going on strike for a good reason.
Stuck in the city and I can't get in for college today. I constantly, on a regular occasion, get the bus. I think they've got the right to be selling out.
Okay, that was what she found when she talked to bus commuters. Then she went to talk to some of the people affected by the trains, which were also off and are due back around now. Here's what people talk about the trains being off.
We're just on our way into the train station there, and we found out that the trains are cancelled. We're on our way up to the Ireland match. We have to drive now. Very disappointed, no notification. Just found out when we walked up to the train station, so it's been annoying, really. So there's a few people up in the train station now. They don't know how to get to Dublin.
We are just travellers. We came 2 days ago to Dublin, then from Cork, and we have, like, really specific schedule to go to Killarney, and we are screwed up, actually, now. So we don't have any idea what to do.
There's the response of people to the trains. The trains are back on now since just after 11 o'clock, so everything should be okay there. Dermot says on WhatsApp, American vessels are a constant target, even on a courtesy visit, so the personnel on board have to be armed and ready to act. And with that, we'll close from what's been a very, very, very busy week. The programme edited by Brenda Dennehy, produced and researched by Fergal Barry. Your podcast, remember, it's a little later on the Friday. It'll be up this evening. Repeats in the early hours of Monday morning. And we shall talk to you. Have a fabulous weekend. Enjoy it. The weather's going to be lovely. We'll see you here Monday morning, just after 9.